Jason's not going to join us today.
Okay.
Which sucks. But you're here. I am so happy.
Are you really?
Absolutely. It's no show when you're not here.
I'm happy John's here.
Hello.
How's it going?
How are you?
He's a tall guy, isn't he?
John?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's full of life. Who do you have here in the house?
I hope not.
Oh, there's so much to talk about. I wish I was here. I wish I was here to talk about Leno. Ah, oh, I miss that.
Well, we can do a wrap up.
Yeah.
Is that too tall? Is that? Is you?
No,
feel
no,
like
no.
You're,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you just fine. But do you feel like you're?
Can I hear me?
Hello? Yeah, hello? I hear you.
Okay, there.
Is that all right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't. Let me get this shit here.
Because I was thinking.
Yeah, keep doing your thing. Yeah.
You know, it'd be so great as I'll do because we set our wedding date. So I'm like, thinking, let me go on the internet and get like newlywed game questions, and we could call her up.
Yeah.
But then I remember we're not married yet. We're not newlyweds. That has to be after we're married.
Well, what if either the marriage doesn't last or the show doesn't last?
Oh, the show will be around.
Yeah. The last time I.
He doesn't want to jinx it.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx it in case this is on the pre-show.
I can tell he doesn't want to jinx it.
Okay, we'll talk about this.
What?
Well, we'll talk about it when we start.
Well, okay. You gotta give me a hint, or?
Well, it reminds me of Howard Stern.
Oh, okay.
No, and I know what's going to happen. I'll talk about it. And it'll drop like lead.
What is Jews?
Come on.
Call networking.
Oh, sorry. That is fries myself. It'll drop like lead.
Yeah, and then you guys will be all like, "Oh, that was dumb. What did we wait for that for?"
I know it's like building up the suspense.
Should I set up this while?
We'll just turn it around a little bit, so that'll be all fine.
Right. Perfect.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nicely done.
Should I take 10 minutes to do this?
You're a real fucking broadcasting pro.
Thank you.
All right.
Good times.
Do you have stuff you want? You have stuff you want to talk about?
So much.
You got so much.
Bunch of little shit.
That's all right.
All right.
That's what makes the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And you're good?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I set my wedding date.
All right, we'll
excellent.
Talk
about it. We can maybe talk about that.
Yeah, yeah,
see
yeah.
If
that's
I'm
exciting.
Making a mistake or.
Yeah.
No. Okay. How long have you known her now? Or dated her?
2 years.
That's good.
It'll be 2 years.
That's good. That's good.
And you slept together?
Yeah.
All right.
A couple times.
Couple.
He's a Jew. We'll cut that out.
Yeah, I don't think that was appropriate.
Coming from the
Persian.
No, don't say that.
Yeah, that's not appropriate either.
Well, what show is this? This is 74. Next week is our 4-year anniversary.
It is.
Are you going to be able to be here next
week? Yeah, I'll be here.
All right, good. And you're going to be able to be here maybe yes, maybe no? We got to try to get a guest. We got to try to get a real guest.
Yeah, as long as
yeah, that'd be great.
We got to try to get a real guest next week.
Cool.
I mean, not that these aren't great shows.
What? Oh God, if you could get Kip O'Dowda.
Wow, that's shit.
You know, I put a Google News alert on Kip O'Dowda just to make sure he's not dead. Like not funny, just true.
And what'd you find out?
Yeah, apparently he's not dead. Oh. But there's I had to actually turn the news alert off because there's so much. Like people pirate his songs, you know, the MP3s, and so you constantly see these links to, you know, sites outside the U.S. where there's the Kip O'Dowda links and stuff like that. And I couldn't bring myself to create a news alert that said Kip O'Dowda and obituary because that's how I would have, you know, gotten rid of all of the noise. And I thought that's just too gruesome because then when I see that news alert from Kip O'Dowda, it's like, oh, and I can't do that. So I'd rather be surprised.
Okay.
All right.
All right. That's one thing I don't do enough of is Google alert.
You know what, though? If and when Kip O'Dowda dies, right?
I don't think there's a when.
No, it is a when. It's not if. It's a when. But when Kip O'Dowda dies.
Really? Actually, he made more sense than you there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I bet you this is not recorded.
Oh, yeah, it's recorded.
No, 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 no. This isn't recorded.
What's the if part?
If he dies.
It's the F part. Right,
anyways.
I'm sorry, Mother Teresa.
Somehow this lead balloon is coming down quickly. So if and when he dies,
yes,
I don't think there'll be anybody left on this planet named Kip.
That could be true.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
It's something we'll have to talk about when we get into the show. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah, all that's right. Going to be first topic.
Topic number one. All right. All right, here we go.
How many people have they need Kip?
Yeah, all right. I got all this turned off here. All right. Episode number 74, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Here we go. In three.
Do I get a mask?
I got the sneeze guard on the salad bar. Don't worry about it. We're all good. It's all good. I went in. I didn't go out. If and when I blow out. I'm sorry. But that's worth turning the mic back on again. Go ahead.
That's what she said?
Thank you. second thought. Okay, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic. It's our 74th episode, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 27th of January, 2010.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
An American girl is traveling around the world when she bumps into an American man in a Greek bar. After striking up a pleasant conversation with the girl, he offers her $200 to sleep with him. Short on cash, the American girl reluctantly agrees. This goes on for 4 more nights before the girl decides she might as well get to know the guy a little bit better. Well, says the man, I'm from Wisconsin. Well, says the girl, so am I. And I'm from St. Cloud, says the man. Amazing, replies the girl, so am I. And I live on Maple Street, says the man. So do I, says the girl nervously. I know, says the guy. Your dad sent me here to give you $1,000. Enjoy the rest of your trip.
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of East, my friends, son of East, and welcome. You have managed to tune in, latch on, otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic. It is our 74th episode, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 27th of January, 2010. And my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, bad attorney with a bizarre sense of humor, and a master's degree in city planning, and I'm thrilled and delighted to have each and every one of you here for what we are going to guarantee will be an outstanding show today. We've got, two of our most favorite people here in the studio right now, and a third should be joining us ever so shortly. Let me say a very quick hello here to Dr. John DeCoven, son of Easta, my friend.
Son of Easta, Robin.
You get the microphone set up just the way you
it's
like
perfect.
It?
Perfect.
I think that's actually the position it was before I fucked around with and made it higher and changed the angle and stuff like that. So you came all the way down from Pleasant today. The weather's better. None of this.
No, it was great.
That was a nightmare last week.
That was crazy.
It was crazy. Did you lose anything? Did you have trees blow down?
My mind. No, we were cool.
It's all good?
All good.
All right. And the middle chair is empty right now. It should be filled by someone lovely, young and luscious down the road. But right now we have...
That's enough about me. Sherry will be here soon.
We're not starting again. And we have somebody lovely, young, and luscious sitting over here. We haven't seen him in a couple of weeks. Mr. Dr. the Reverend Parviz Vitali.
The roosters have come to roost.
All right. Or the chickens. All right. Hey, what's happening?
I think you're thinking of the cock.
Yes. You know, the second I was thinking, wait a second, Dr. John DeCoven? I don't have a title. Now I
did give you a title.
I know.
You're
sensitive.
What happened to you when you were growing up? Did you not get breastfed?
Twice. Son of East to my friends. Son of East to my friends.
That's it. That's all.
That's it.
You're going to leave now.
No. I got so many things to talk about.
You got lots of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, all right.
And Cherry will be joining us, so we'll be doing that. So we got lots to get caught up on this week.
Yes.
I am feeling much better. Last week's show was touch and go for me. And that was even after.
Why did you feel compelled to do last week's show?
Because last week there was the follow-up for the Golden Globe Awards, and there was the whole Leno Conan thing, which was fresh mm-hmm. as the morning dew.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is having sort of stopped doing the show once before for a hiatus that then extended for almost 2 years. I'm worried about it happening again. So what keeps me going is forward momentum. You got to just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And I you weren't able to make it last week, and you were sort of, you could have made it. I think you would have tried because you're a good guy, but the weather was awful. But Jason was like, let's do it. And I thought, all right, that's fine. You know, we'll just do a mini schnauzer, which turned out to be an hour and 45 minutes anyhow. So for a mini schnauzer, you know, Boyana, who did the show notes, was like, if that's a mini, I don't want to see the poop out of a standard, you know.
No kidding.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I am feeling much, I'm feeling like me.
Good.
The stuff inside feels like it belongs there. The stuff that's not inside feels like it doesn't belong there. I don't know.
Okay.
This music seems to be going on a really long time today, doesn't it? Usually it should have been.
It sounded different.
Yeah.
There was a.
Should have been over by now.
Like with horns.
Yeah,
and
there's
stuff.
Like extra parts. Somebody came in and made the song longer. Because usually I'm just like, hey, what the fuck is going on here? I don't know.
There it is.
Here we go. We hope he's not dead. Mr. Kibadada and this guy.
Stroke or unload.
All right. And of course. And of course,
home networking.
And
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Nonsense, babber.
Stop laughing. It's not
when
fun.
Is a good fairy going to take off my penis?
It's tiger.
It's none of your business.
I'm Brian Cox.
There you go.
You know who you should have on there? That's perfect. Is Howard Dean? Yeah. You should find that.
Oh, yeah.
That on there.
That's right.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That one and the other one, though.
Was that from 10 years ago?
I was going to say.
5 years ago. 5 years ago. Before the show started.
You know what I think, though?
But then again, half these people were 5 years ago before the show started.
What are you talking about?
Half these sound bites.
Some of them are.
Thank you, John.
We probably have new listeners that haven't gone back and listened to the beginning episodes. Maybe one episode you should do an explanation of the people. Because you'll just say, oh, and we got this guy and we got this guy. But people don't know who it is.
Okay,
that's
so,
true.
You know, you raise an interesting point. And in an effort to chew up some time.
And maybe a little history of how they came about.
Well, I don't know about that. But, okay, so this is the stand-up comedian who Sean and I would frequently make fun of by talking about the comedy stylings of Mr. Kibadada. This is Kibadada hanging up on me when I interviewed him for the morning show on KSCO. And it's this perfect kind of stage.
Did you set him off to a point where...
I did set him off. And
he was offended and whatnot?
We're going to start to... Well, I think he realized that we were making fun of him.
Okay.
And that's never a great way to conduct an
interview. I haven't hung up on you yet.
That's not...
I haven't realized that.
But you and I have more of a history than
Kibadada. No, you just didn't talk to her for 2 years.
That's right. Anyways. But so... this was, Sean used to go, whenever there was really bad humor, like really he'd go, ladies and gentlemen, the comedy stylings of Mr. Kibadada, you know, so bad Las Vegas lounge comedian kind of thing. And every Friday we would do a segment called Producer's Surprise, where our producer Jody Lee would book the guest and none of us would know who the guest was supposed to be. And then part of the segment was we had to guess why the person was booked in the first place. So this was a great idea. So one week I said, well, it's not going to be Producer's Surprise, it's going to be Robin's Surprise. And so I punched down the button and I said, ladies and gentlemen, the comedy stylings of Kibadada. Well, Sean started laughing like a maniac, but not in this kind of, oh, I'm really glad that this person is here way, but rather like, oh my God, what a train wreck. And he hadn't even opened his mouth yet. And so Kip came on. If you listen to the old airplays, and we're going to put all the airplays on the iTunes Music Store, so you can be able to listen to them. I'm doing director's cuts, and I know I said I'd do it by January 1st, and I didn't yet. And fuck you, it's going to happen. No, it's going to happen. I'm excited about doing it. But anyhow, so Kip came on, and he said, oh, you've got some of my albums. This was during the height of Napster.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, as a matter of fact, I don't have any of your albums, but I went on Napster this morning and I downloaded a bunch of your songs so I could play them during the interview. Well, that set him off. He was furious.
That you got it for free.
Well, he was just not a fan of Napster.
Okay.
He and Lars...
Metallica. Old, yeah.
That's what they had in common. Yeah. Not fans of Napster. So he then began... We kind of moved him off the topic. You know, I'd been doing the show for a while at that point. I was like, all right, this is not a good place to be. We kind of moved him off the topic, and he started to tell this story about someone who owned a club in Monterey, and they've been arrested for cocaine dealing, and he drove out to the house one night to get his paycheck, and their chimney of the house was in the shape of this giant Coke bottle, which he thought was a hysterical punchline to the Coke joke that he had told previously, kind of a callback. Well, he said this, and there was nothing. It was dead silence. And he says, "Are you there?" It's like, oh, yeah, we're just taking this in. You know, we're just being respectful. You know, I'm sure you don't get that kind of... And so it was getting really kind of bad. And I made some other comment at that point about Napster again. And then, like, out of nowhere, like, in the middle of just... And you can, like, it's this really great kind of like, yeah. It's not just a click. I mean, it's
an old person kind of fumble.
Yeah.
That's
so
funny.
So that's who that is. So anyhow.
But later on, you interviewed Kip Adada on this show,
right?
I had
Kip Adada here for Schnauzer Logic, I don't know, around the 20th episode.
And
he
totally forgot about that interview.
I had no idea.
I sent him an email and I said, you were on my show many years ago. And I would love to have you because we didn't have a chance to finish the interview. I was young and inexperienced, and I'd love to finish the interview. And he said, oh, yeah, I heard about it from my agent. So, and I go, wow, I'm really powerful. And so I said, I thought to myself, you know, I could have not let him know that it was not the person he thought he was going to be talking to. So I wrote back to him and I said, or actually I called him and I said, you know, he said, call me and we'll set up a time. So I called him and I said, listen, I said, I don't know who you think it is, but I'm not that person. I'm somebody else. And if you don't want to do the interview, that's fine. He goes, no, we'll do the interview. So he couldn't do it in the afternoon. So I did it live with him. I did a taped interview.
You did
with
it
him.
Live.
We do it live. I did it with him and we wound up cutting it up into two segments and running it. And it was he had a lot of really interesting things to say about comedy and work in the clubs and, you know, Mitzi Shore and the Comedy Store and all that kind of stuff. So anyhow, that's who that is. So that's all you need to know about Kip Adada. Maybe what we'll do is each week we'll explain a different...
or a couple of them.
Should I do another one?
One more.
All right, here's the other one. Wait, that's the wrong thing here. Hold on a second here. So, all right, so this one here.
Stroke or unload?
That's Brian Cox.
No, it's not. Oh. It's Michael Swerling.
Wow. Oh. Yeah, very nice.
Michael Swerling was
Swerling,
your...
with a Z.
Swerling was your boss.
He was, yes. He is the owner of KSCO Radio. And I think he must know that the things that he says are funny. Intentionally funny, but he plays a character also called Michael Swerling who seems to be clueless as to the subtext of the things that he's saying, and so he used to do all these commercials for I don't remember what he was doing the commercials for. They were on KSCO, but he did a bunch of local spots, and he made some comment. And when the commercial, he goes, you know, you need to stroke or unload. So,
but he said it in that voice: stroke or unload,
stroke or unload.
And I just thought that was so funny, so I made a sound clip out of it. So,
huh?
Is that okay?
I think it's hilarious.
All right, oh, we'll do one more since it's an easy one.
Yeah,
all right, here we go.
Well,
this one,
it's a double.
Yeah, and then
now that's just a sack of potatoes, right? I mean, that's not a real person.
That?
Yeah.
This one.
You know what's great? It's like a really tall person.
Well, I think
it's supposed to be birds flying away, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not. It's supposed to be something dropping. It's supposed to be Harry Whittington, right? This is supposed to be Dick Cheney, and that's supposed to be...
Oh, right, Harry Whittington. But what is that?
Oh, it's a sound effects library of somebody dropping a stack of lumber.
Okay, cool. You know how they get... Hey, all right, listen. This is kind of in the same vein. I learned on Indiana Jones that they would punch heads of lettuce to get that sound of hitting somebody in the face.
Well, that was when, because the international people...
Oh, that was a long one.
It's a long shot.
I'm sorry.
Please, no, no. Well, no, but you got to explain it. You stepped all over the explanation. That was our vice president, Dick Cheney.
Yes.
When he went out hunting one day, and he shot his friend.
Harry Whittington.
On accident,
yeah,
supposedly.
Of course, on, in the of course face. On accident. Yeah.
He shot him in the face. With birdshot, who then apologized to the vice president. That's how you know that Dick Cheney is evil.
Right.
Because he got the guy to apologize to him.
Yeah. Well, you know what worried me about that, though, if you think about it? Because if Cheney, what if something happened to him? Like, if he had shot himself and died?
Uh-huh.
Then, like,
we
Bush,
wouldn't have a president.
Well, Bush would have become president.
Right? Because Cheney was our president, wasn't he?
You just stepped over my punchline, fucker.
Oh, did I? Did I? Was that really a punchline?
Yes.
Oh, crap. I hate when I know the punchlines. I hate when I know the punchlines. And I even explained it for the audience.
That's because he was our president. He was never around smarter than the other guy.
All right. I didn't know I knew it. Oh, man.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi. Sonavista.
How are you? Sherry.
I'm doing great.
All right.
Jerry, you got a nice intro while you were gone.
I did.
You'll have to listen to it later.
I will.
It has to do with Luscious or something?
I did.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Delicious. Was
Delicious and Luscious. It was.
I used the same intro for you.
I know. But for me, it didn't work. For you, it worked.
Aw, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, 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 yeah. What?
Boy, I don't know what I've missed.
Not
but,
me. Not me. Not me. All right. Take a break. All play right. Some tunes. Come back. Talk some more stuff.
All right.
All right. We got all kinds of random songs today because I realized that I've been playing mostly current Britpop. Most of the stuff I've been playing is from the top 40 of last week's British top 40 chart. And that's okay, but I got other cool stuff to play too.
Do you think it's ever appropriate to play songs from Haiti, like actual artists from Haiti?
Is it ever appropriate? Yes, but only on the night before Lagba Omer, when it occurs during the month of Aga. Of course it's appropriate.
And there has to be a 6.0.
Do you have any...
Isn't Sade from Haiti?
I don't know who Sade is.
Yes, you do know who Sade is.
Are you talking about Sade?
Sade.
Oh, wow, I was way off. Oh, my God, I was way off that John knew who I was talking about. Please. How about the Black Eyed Peas? Those people are from Haiti.
The Black Eyed Peas? That was why I went to the doctor. That's why they had to do the surgery.
My Black Eyed Peas winked at me. Doctor, he's winking at me. What is it? It's my Black Eyed Peas.
Why do you think it's a guy?
Because it's an outie, not an innie.
All right.
Awkward.
So awkward. For so many reasons that you don't even understand. I'm going to play a song. Then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk some more, and we'll try to make some sense of this. How does that sound?
All right.
All right, you're listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, and our good friend, the Dr. Right Reverend Parviz Vitali, all inviting you to please stick around.
Sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Well, I went to the doctor. I said, I'm feeling kind of rough. Let me break it to you, son. Your shit's fucked up. I said, my shit's fucked up. Well, I don't see how. He said, the shit that used to work won't work now. I had a dream. Ah, shucks, oh well. Now it's all fucked up. It's shot to hell. Yeah, my shit's fucked up. It has to happen to the best of us. The rich folks suffer like the rest of us. It'll happen to you. Mm-hmm. passed you by. You wake up every day and you start to cry. You wanna die, but you just can't quit. Let me break it on down. It's the fucked up shit. Yeah, my shit's fucked up. Fucked up.
We feel that in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Frisco!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 24 minutes into this 74th episode of Schnauzer Logic. Being recorded on January the 27th, 2010. My name is Robin Goldstein, host buddy of Val, www.schnauzerlogic.com. And if you go over there, you can see last week's show notes created for us by our good friend Boyana. They went up last night. She's got the ability to post directly to the blog, so Boyana put up the show notes last night. We're also over on twitter.com/schnauzerlogic. We're on facebook.com/schnauzerlogic. Robin at schnauzerlogic.com. What am I missing? Am I missing anything?
No.
Okay, that's pretty much it, right? If you want to get in touch with us, you know how to get in touch with us. And
you just need to know how to spell schnauzer.
Yes, you just S-C-H-N-A-U-Z-E-R. There you go. Let's say welcome back in Sonna Vista, Parvis Vitali.
Sonna Vista, Robin.
And welcome back in Sonna Vista, Sherry Stevens.
Sonna Vista.
And welcome back in Sonna Vista, John DeCoven.
Sonna Vista.
Now, you were complaining during the break. Complaining's not the right word. You were,
yeah, why do you make me seem
I don't know.
Negative?
You were bitching during the break
that
you, would, that you would not had an opportunity to talk about the entire Leno-Conan fiasco, which ended last week on Friday night, and... And so I did not want you to feel unloved, unwanted,
left out.
Untouched. That I definitely want you to feel. So please share your thoughts.
My thoughts on the Leno Conan thing. First of all, it's a tough call. I understand both sides. What do you shake your head for?
What's a tough call?
I'm going to explain it.
Okay, sorry.
My gosh.
He seemed so much more passionately one way during the break.
That's what surprised me.
Well, I'm not done.
I thought it was an open book exam. Right. Go ahead. No.
So I can see both sides of this, but the best decision is to keep Leno on late night. Okay. First of all, I got to go back to you. Because you were so adamant that Conan is the best. He's the worst. And that sidekick he has, Andy Somerville, what's his name?
Richter.
Richter. Andy Richter sucks. And you totally support that guy. That's why the show sucks. That sucks. It just sucks. Leno is just better. He's better for Middle America for 11:30. It's a college TV show, Conan. He's better at 12:30, just like Jimmy Fallon.
Here's what I don't understand.
Thanks. My time's up.
No. That whole... Someone's better at this time, someone's better at that time.
It is
time.
True.
Who the fuck is watching TV at a certain time? We TiVo everything. What does
Thank
it
you.
Matter?
Okay, but,
why
but
does
the
it matter?
50 years before...
He doesn't TiVo anything.
The 50 years before, the Jack Parr, the Steve Allen, the Johnny Carson, that's more Jay Leno than it is Conan. It was a mistake to
I'm
put Conan
is
there.
What I'm saying is, if you like Jay Leno, why wouldn't you just TiVo him and turn him on at 11:30? Why do you need him to be live?
It's not me. It's America. He didn't fit 10 o'clock because it's a comedy show at 10 o'clock. It's a variety comedy show for one solid hour at the time where people are putting their kids to bed. People are trying to wind down. They can't be paying totally close attention to a TV. They can watch CSI from another room and hear dialogue and know what's going on. When you got Leno giving you visuals at 10, it doesn't work.
So you're saying that visually Leno is more compelling than CSI Miami?
Absolutely.
Don't give me
the hands in the air like you just don't care.
Obviously,
please.
You have not watched CSI Miami.
I have
Miami
never, ever,
have
ever
some
seen
of the
CSI.
On there.
I have never seen CSI.
I guess then we're done. No. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
So listen. I think the whole Tonight Show has been stained, if I may use that word lightly. I don't think it's
has it been stained lightly?
No.
Okay.
But I that's why I'm torn. It's like I don't, you know, I can understand Jay Leno thinking like, well, if you want me back, I need a job, and I'd like to keep my job, and yeah, I'd like it back, but it's kind of awkward that he gave a big goodbye, and now he's coming back. I understand,
it's
but
like
you know
the
what?
Brett Favre
in a year,
late night.
In a year or two,
oh, man.
In a year or two, this will all be forgotten, and he'll kick Letterman's ass, and it'll be back to normal. You'll see.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Because you're saying this. Do you like Leno better than Letterman? Because that would be disappointing.
He does. Can't you
you're
tell?
You're kidding?
Can't you tell? No. He thinks he's 100 times funnier.
Oh, no. Hold on. I think he's 100 times more accessible than Letterman.
What do you mean accessible?
Okay, I'm glad you asked. He has more of a broader appeal than Letterman does.
No, I don't care about his appeal. I'm talking about you personally.
If I had a pick,
who do you
I
think's funnier?
Can I explain?
Yes.
If I had to pick, I'd pick Leno.
I told you.
Wait. Ya. Why does that disappoint you? A million other...
Because
5 million people a night. 5 million people a night pick Leno.
Because somebody who has some comedic ability...
Uh-huh.
Should appreciate the person who is funnier.
This coming from the Jewish Republican.
Yeah. Hey, no, I'm an independent.
Wait a second. Leno is a comedian.
That's what a Jewish Republican is.
Leno is a comedian that gives you 12 minutes of monologue where Letterman gives you 3 jokes and he goes to a desk.
No.
Letterman is throwing shit off a roof, and Leno is going to the streets just like every other comedian that worked.
When was the last time you actually watched Letterman?
You know what you have to watch? Seriously?
I probably haven't seen Letterman in 12 years.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Well, that's a fair comparison. Exactly,
yeah, just like you sound like the people who complain about O'Reilly and never watch him. But you know what you need to do is watch the Kimmel show where he does the whole hour.
I saw that. And Chevy Chase is Conan O'Brien.
Because,
I saw that.
Because it shows you it was so funny.
It's hilarious.
How ridiculous
it's hilarious.
Leno is.
Everybody makes fun of Leno. It's
news
hilarious.
News time.
It's hilarious. But it doesn't work. Conan didn't work at that time slot. He worked better by himself without Andy Richter at that time slot at midnight, 12:30.
12:35.
I guess then, as I frequently say in my corporate world, I guess we'll just have to agree to disagree.
Well, let me hear your side.
Because you're wrong.
Okay, let me hear your side. Let me know. Tell you. So you're telling me Leno is not going to succeed at back at 11:30?
No. Here's what I'm telling you. Okay, you're ugly. No. here's my thought about it.
Uh huh.
The purpose of programming.
Thanks for having me on, by the way.
If you're, I couldn't do the show without you, unless of course Sherry and or John were here, or I just felt like doing it anyhow. So, and of course every now and then there's Jason on the phone. We got that too. But here's my point. The purpose of the head of programming of a major network is not only to guarantee that you have a show on tonight at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or 11:30, but that you have a show on a year from now at 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or 11:30. And so while I agree with you that that Leno clearly has the demographic now, that demographic is getting older, right? Mm-hmm. Leno is getting older. The people that enjoy him are getting older. The people that enjoy Conan, they're getting older too, mm-hmm. right? Even though they started off in college, they're not college kids anymore. The people that dig Conan are not college kids. The people that dig Conan are the people who were in their 20s and 30s who started watching him when they were in college. People that were in college are watching Kimmel, or they're watching Fallon, or they're watching the Daily Show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what you want to do is you want to keep it moving forward, right? So you need to take that audience because the Conan audience is if Conan goes, he's going to take his audience with him, and that
2 million people.
That audience is going to get bigger over time. More people will flock to that. From an advertising point of view, that's a more interesting demographic. Those are people that spend the money. People in their 60s, they don't spend their money. They hang on to their money. Right? Especially in this economy. So I think what they wanted to do is they wanted to begin to prepare for a more accessible, marketable show for that time slot. The problem was they fucked up on the timing. And Jay wasn't ready to go. But do you think Jay is going to still be as popular as he is in 10 years from now? Absolutely not. Do you think he's going to be...
Who's going to be more popular than him in 10 years from now?
He's going to be 70. In 70.
How old is going to be Letterman? How old is Letterman going to be?
I'm not saying that Letterman's the future of television.
Nobody is.
Well, no. Conan is, and Fallon is, and Kimmel are. Those guys will continue to come up. Or Jon Stewart, or Colbert, or whoever the fuck is. Younger people need to start getting into position.
But NBC didn't have a choice. They don't have Kimmel. ABC has Kimmel. They don't have Craig Ferguson. They have it. So all they had was Leno and Conan. They got rid of the one that doesn't have the ratings. I mean, you're looking at
You're missing my point.
Your point is 10 years from now.
My point is that the move to move Conan to the earlier slot was an attempt to keep Conan because they know that Conan's audience is coming into the part where they're going to be the majority audience. And they timed it wrong, and they played it wrong by realizing, oh my God, we probably have another couple of good 2-3 years with Leno, and we should have figured out a way to keep Conan happy for another couple of 2-3 years. And they didn't do that. And
right, because they thought by now Leno would be going down.
Exactly.
And he wasn't.
Exactly. Exactly.
Did Conan have an bigger audience when he was at 12:30?
No, because that's a smaller audience for everybody. There are fewer people watching television at that point. But he is the future. Listen, his fans... So, for as popular as Jay is, right? Everybody loves G. Everybody loves G. The kind of buzz... Right, on the Team Leno versus Team Conan?
There was no Team Leno.
There was no fucking... Right. Yeah, Team Leno was fucking Jerry Seinfeld,
and
right?
And Parviz.
Right.
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
Right, that was Team Leno. Well, if Conan was any good, he wouldn't have been fired. That was fucking Team Leno, right? And Billy Crystal and, right, all the cockas that nobody gives a fuck about anymore. The demographic you want is the Twitter demographic and the Facebook demographic and the people that went out and protested all of that shit. Nobody fucking protested when Leno got moved to 10 o'clock. And so they have fucked this up royally.
But was it clear back in May or whenever he made this decision 5 years ago, was it clear that he got fired?
That's
a weird firing for 5 years.
I wasn't there.
Right.
I don't think it was clear.
So I think people would have protested if he said, hey, I just want to let you know I'm getting fired today, but in 5 years, I'm giving it to Conan. I think it was almost like, no, I'm going to give it to Conan in 5 years and retire. There wasn't a word about he got fired from NBC.
Well, he didn't get fired.
He didn't get fired from NBC.
He was supposed to retire, and he didn't.
They were going to give him special projects and shit like that. I mean, they had a contract. They didn't want him going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I heard him talking, and he basically said, listen, you sounds like you're firing me. So fire me in 5 years and let me go someplace else. Like, no, we don't want you to go anywhere else. NBC wanted their cake and eating it. They wanted whatever that expression. What's the expression?
Wanted their cake and eat it, too.
That's it. They wanted their cake and eat it, too.
Okay. But you'll see Fallon's ratings will go up. It's a better lead-in. It's a better lead-in than Conan. Conan wasn't bringing the people, and they weren't staying up any later for Fallon.
Yeah, because Conan had a shitty lead-in.
The 10 o'clock Jay Leno.
Right, which was a shitty show.
It was the same amount of people.
It wasn't.
No,
yes,
wasn't.
It
no,
was.
It was half.
No, it was not. It was the same amount of people he had at late night. The 5 million were the same 5 million at 10.
Yes, but CSI
has 17
but
million.
Leno used to have, but Leno used to have 10 million people leading into his fucking show. You want to really test it out? The way you test it out is you have Leno follow Leno, and you see how shitty the second Leno does. So second Leno does as shitty as the first Leno.
No.
Yes.
Letterman had less
99999.
He had less ratings than Leno.
Oh, yes,
Leno
carried
the same amount of ratings at that time than he did at 10 o'clock. That was a problem. He did not have the CSI numbers because he kept the same audience. He didn't grow at all.
Tell me about Colt sweating a joint.
What?
I love that. I love that. It's you'll see. We'll come back in 10 years and we'll see how the ratings are doing. We'll come back in 10 years.
We'll be in show number 83.
Jay Leno has had Jay Leno has had white hair for about 30 years. So he's obviously not getting older. You're saying he's gonna be 70 in 10 years. Doesn't matter. He's still the same dude that he had white hair 30 years ago when he got the Tonight Show.
It is disappointing, isn't it?
But you know what's interesting?
It's like when I found out that you were an independent.
Out of every episode there has been,
yeah?
I have not. This has probably been the most spirited debate I've seen over any topic.
Stop.
Seriously.
No, it's not.
I love him.
No, it's fine.
I love them. This is all out of love.
But you know what? But you know what I love about debates on any radio show or anything. The host.
I'm the couch.
I love how the host always says, "Well, you're wrong." Well, thanks for having me on. You know, it's like, thanks for allowing me to speak when you adamantly say I'm wrong.
Did I say you were wrong?
Yes, you
he
did.
Said agree to disagree.
No. At the beginning, oh, you're wrong. Oh, really? I'm wrong. Is that why they did it?
Did I say I was wrong? Did I say he was wrong?
Yeah, but jokingly. I mean,
oh, probably is.
Everybody does that when their view isn't. You asked me for my opinion. I gave it to you, and I'm wrong. I'm telling you, that's the reason why they got rid of Kona. He sucks ass.
Nobody can see that magazine. By the way.
Note to audience.
You're saying I asked you for your opinion?
Apparently,
I was wrong. All right, we got to play another song here and just chill out.
I'm going to miss Andy Richter.
All right.
I'll be back.
Oh, that guy sucks ass.
No.
Conan was much better without him. You know it. His ratings went up.
Hold on.
Did his ratings not go up?
Wait, Sherry talk. She hasn't said anything yet.
I know. I can't. Have you watched Conan?
Yes.
How many times?
Since he moved?
Yes.
Four.
All right.
Okay.
Well, that's enough.
Oh, that's enough. Well, but listen. No. Come on. If you have sex
with somebody four times, you know whether they're any good or not.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, listen. Listen. You cannot deny that he had higher ratings when Richter was gone.
But wait a second.
He was in a different time slot.
No, in his old time slot of 12:30 to 1, he started off with Richter for so many years. He got rid of him. His ratings went through the roof. Richter sucks ass.
No, that's just because he was getting better with his own show.
Without Richter. Why is this so hard to understand?
Because you're a moron.
What?
Because you're a moron.
Wait. You're the host. You're calling me a moron.
Yes. That's the only thing you do understand.
Well, you're not a true guest. You're a regular. You're a co-host.
You're a co-host.
Really? I'm a co-host?
Yes, you are. You're sucking the life off of the body.
How am I wrong? How am I wrong about Richter when he left, the ratings did not go up? How am I wrong?
I'm going to play a song. We'll come back and we'll take more of this.
Okay. Look right now. See what his ratings were back for the last 16 years.
He's still talking. He's still talking. I turned my mic off. We're done. We'll be back on the other side. Stick around.
Viva la radio. Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic. Bad.
want you to hear. Tell me it's cool, and I'll sure believe it. Sell out with me, oh yeah. Sell out with me tonight. The record company's gonna give me lots of money, and everything's gonna be alright. She said, but I can't work in fast food all my life.
More fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
During the break, we found out that Andy Richter apparently is Parvis's biological father. And so now we're in a communal hug here, trying to make him feel like it's okay that he really hates his father. It's a whole Darth Vader, Luke Vader, Sammy Sosa thing going on. Welcome back. We're 45 minutes into this first hour of the 74th episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, straight white Buddhist vegetarian, living in Trinidad, talking about every recovering trend since one pound here.
And you seem drained.
I'm completely drained.
Are you kidding me?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm good. Other stuff.
No. We got to continue this.
No.
Will Ferrell and the end of Conan. We want to talk about that.
All right. I thought it was great. What about you?
No, come on now.
Will Ferrell.
I thought, okay.
Will Ferrell's my favorite comedian in the whole world. He makes everything better. Will Ferrell is like the MSG of comedy. He is like Robin Williams. When he's on the screen, whatever's funny just gets funnier.
I'm going to have to disagree with you.
Actually, I like that because that's very true. No, it's very true. He does suck ass. But listen, what I didn't understand, this is what I was most impressed about, the last episode, that Conan shreds on guitar.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
That's cool. But I never knew that.
You know what
I never seen the show.
What he did, which I liked, was he said kind of his goodbye, which was very classy.
Yeah.
And then they went to play the music, so he really didn't have to do that final goodbye. It was just like they play the music and they're gone.
Will Ferrell's weird, but they have the bad guy.
But Will Ferrell, but Conan gave him that to do.
I know. That's fine.
I thought it was nothing. You know, it was like there was, you know, here's the last, 3 minutes of the show, and they're going to end on that. The song wasn't good. His performance was horrible. It was just a big, you know, whatever. I don't know what
he
was in.
Well, he had some great musicians there, too. I mean, he had Beck playing, and
ZZ
he had the guy from
ZZ Top.
What's his name? Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes.
Was it Gibbons or Rhodes? I don't know.
Gibbons.
Maybe it was Gibbons. Billy Gibbons?
Yeah.
Billy Gibbons. And
they had that black guy playing the thing on the bottom, on the bottom screen on your left. Well, I think his name was... I forget.
Stevie Wonder?
No. He had the slide guitar. He was a famous dude that I don't remember who
Ike
he was.
Ike Turner?
No.
Ben Harper.
Ben Harper. Very good. Yeah. So yeah. Ben Harper's
otherwise,
to the left.
In some circles known as that black dude on the bottom.
If he was on the right, it would have been someone else.
If you look at his IMDb for that last show, it says black dude on the bottom left.
I think that's in his contract writer. It says he always has to be on the bottom left.
Oh God. These are tears of joy.
They are.
I'm glad we think we're funny.
Pop culture. The iPad. The iPad announced
just
today.
Came out today.
Did you see the what are you worried about?
Are we not too? I mean, how old are we?
What are you worried about?
I don't know. You're just spraying it all over the place.
It's okay. Mom, this is my home. Everything here has been sprayed by me.
Right. I
spray before you come in. I'm like a cat.
I don't know if I want to picture that. But,
if you go to my Facebook page, there is a picture of that.
So the iPad came out today, 10 o'clock Pacific time in United States.
Yes.
In the Bay Area, San Francisco. The, yes. Steve Forbes.
What?
No, Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs. He came out, right?
Yes.
He came out and...
well, he didn't come out, but...
This is a news flash.
Believe me. Believe me. It's called an iPad. He came out. Thank you.
Let me ask Sherry. Did you have... I don't know what you can say or not say, but can you say if you literally had no idea?
So the iPad, and I didn't even know what it was going to be called. And it was, that's just a horrible name. But it has been, you know. Yeah.
like Robin was saying earlier, don't they have any women that work at Apple in the marketing department?
Wait. I didn't say that. Oh, good. I still work there. I did not say that. What I said was I watched the announcement online and I was reading the Twitter stream. I had Apple and Steve and iPad as Twitter searches. And when it was announced that the name of the product was the iPad, on the in the Twitterverse, the first thing people said was, are there no women in the marketing department of Apple? Okay. That was not Robin.
Okay.
All right. For
well,
the record.
At any rate, all programs that are like this, that are so, you know, cutting edge, go through enormous, you know, people go through, you know, all kinds of gyrations to keep things confidential. So if you're working on the program, you sign an NDA, even though just by working at Apple,
right,
you keep things confidential. But you sign an NDA, everything is covered, meetings are taking place, and, you know, it's very, very secretive. We do a lot to keep the confidentiality of the product. I had never seen it.
Until this morning.
You need to talk into the microphone because we are still on the radio.
Thank you.
We're not
Thank
on
you.
The iPad yet.
So, no, I'd never seen it. And it's beautiful. It looks, it's beautiful.
I heard it's amazing. Is that right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I not only have I never seen it, I've never played with it. So I don't know how
We're
fast
talking
it
about
is
the iPad.
The app,
okay.
iPad, yeah.
Yeah, the iPad. Yeah. Ask her by name.
Yeah.
Unless it makes you uncomfortable. Then have your girlfriend ask her by name.
Can I get the iPad with wings? Thank you.
Oh, you're the first person to say that.
Well, you know, that's...
It'll be at this guy's show tonight.
Does it come in scented and unscented?
Come on.
It'll be
yes,
the,
it
it'll be the thing to buy until next year when they come out with the maxi pad.
The maxi iPad. I
Thank
like
you.
That.
Thank
I
you.
Like that.
You'll
you know
be here all night.
Yeah.
All week.
I will be. I'll be here for the rest of my life. The name
so
is...
So you don't seem too impressed with this.
What, the iPad?
Yeah.
I think it's outstanding.
Oh. You're just not impressed with us.
No. Well, so here's the thing. One of the things that I've learned is that there is a divergence between the stuff that I buy and use and the stuff that other people buy and use. One of the most important things that I learned after I got into my 40s was I am not like everybody else. And you can insert the laughter here. And that's enough. But I am not
the understatement of the century.
But I am not like everybody else. And so I used to think that I was the right person to determine what the marketing strategy was for everything. And I realized I'm not. That we should not have a company that builds products for me. Because if we built products only for me, we would never make an iMac. Because I don't like iMacs. I don't have a visceral reaction to them. But for me, I want to be able to choose a screen size separately and have multiple screens. And I don't want to... Like, and so when I look at the iPad, initially I think to myself, as you say, it's really beautiful and it's really interesting. And like, I don't read books. Like, I don't have a Kindle, right? So I don't read books. My sister loves books and she reads all the time, and so for her birthday my brother-in-law bought her a Kindle, right? And so for her this is like the perfect kind of thing, because it's like the Kindle, but it's color and it's more beautiful and it's lighter and it's sort of like, you know, the Kindle times 1,000. And so I think I realize, oh my god, like I don't know who the audience is, but there is an audience for this kind of thing. That's what Steve does well. Steve understands what people who are not Steve want.
He should be running NBC.
Well, there's a lot of questions about whether he should be running NBC and Disney and, you know, all of this kind of
smart
shit.
Smart dude.
And he's got his finger on the pulse. Or if he doesn't know what people should want, people want what he wants. Whereas people don't necessarily want what I want.
Don't you think it's a little bit unfair, though? Or I don't know if it's fair, but just like they're so quickly these things are coming out. In the last 10 years, how many Apple products have come out and they're like they're asking for more money. It's like, whoa, slow down, dude. Let us enjoy the I don't know, the last thing that came out, the iPhone, the...
Yeah, but when we released the iPod, the iPad today, we're announcing today the iPad, and by the way, your iPhone stops working at midnight. I mean, we don't have that control.
I know, but okay, well, we do. But we're not gonna, he's enticing you with a better, bigger and better product so soon. It's like,
well, that happened with the iPhone when it first came out. Like 6 months later, they released a new one.
And they dropped the price.
And people got pissed. And
they had to deal with that, right? I mean, they sort of thought, you know what, that was kind of too short, and so that's fine. But I think we live in a world where those kind of things happen really quickly. Yeah. I mean, listen, there's a new car every year. There's new television models every year. There's new everything every year, right? Things
come
out.
Those are product cycles. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, you're right. But cars seem to hopefully last 5 years.
But they still manufacture cars every year. Every year there's a new car.
And they add another cup holder.
Or they add some new cool features, right? I mean, my car has a heated steering wheel.
Or they take eight of them off the market.
Is that right? Yeah, my car has a heated steering wheel. And I actually waited for the 2009 version of my car because the heated steering wheel wasn't available in the 2008 version of my car. And I could have got it cheaper, but I wanted the heated steering wheel. And I'm glad that I did because my hands get cold. And on those cold, wet mornings, I like to have a heated steering wheel. And so... You know, next year they introduce something else that my car doesn't have.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, but that's the thing. So you have to learn to be kind of an adult about these things. So.
Oh, that eliminates Harveys.
Wow. That was a slight jab.
No, I don't mean you. No,
can I share a story?
Can I stop you? No, let me just finish my thought. When I said you need to be an adult about these things, I was not referring to you. I was thinking about my nephew. My nephew, who's 15 years old,
right,
who I love, you know, unconditionally and infinitely, but he has the consumption habits of a 15-year-old, right? For him, the next thing, he has to have it immediately. And mm-hmm. So he always wants the next thing. If they released a new iPhone every 3 months, he would be, you know, hocking my sister for a new something every 3 months. As an adult, you begin to realize, you know what? I can wait one. I can wait two. There's a trade-off from getting something right away. So that's what I meant about it. I was not referring to you. I was referring to my nephew.
No, you're right, though, because our age, we look at it like, I'm still good with the phone.
Well, certainly at my age. I don't know about you, but I'm closer to Leno's age. How old are you?
All right, I want to share a story.
Okay,
please. Do you mind? It's one of my fondest memories of Robin and I. When I think of Robin, or when I think of this moment, I will forever think of Robin. I don't know if it's appropriate to say, but you can edit it out later.
Okay.
You and I were having lunch back in 2001, I believe.
I don't know where he's going. Sherry's looking at me like, are you okay with this? He's like, I don't know.
I share this story with everybody. It's a great story.
Okay.
You and I were having lunch back in 2000 or 2001. And I don't know if you remember this, but we were eating at, I forget which restaurant, right here. Anyways, so we're sitting across from each other, and you told me, hey, check this out. Do you remember?
No.
You pulled out a black pouch, you pulled out an iPod.
Oh, the first iPod.
You remember that?
I don't.
Yeah, well, you pulled it out.
I thought he pulled out something else.
Come on, John.
Come on, John.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking in Robin's eyes as I tell this story.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Bunjos.
No, this is the great story. At that time, you were telling me like five of you or nine of you had something called an iPod, and you were trying it out and working out the kinks and whatnot.
Yeah.
And you pulled it out and you said, look at this. What's that? Oh, you put all your music on here. So that's cool. But then you put it right back in a black pouch and you put it away with fairy dust or something. It's like, I remember seeing it. And then like a year later, it came out and it is the biggest thing in the world, an iPod. And the first time I'd seen an iPod was probably the first time anybody owned one, and it was Robin. I'm going to get my stick with my clothes and walk away.
Okay.
With my shredded shorts.
That's a nice memory.
It's an awesome memory.
Yeah. That's a nice
30
memory.
30 years from now, when I'm watching Leno and I'm thinking about iPods, I'll be thinking about you, Robin.
I really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I will deny that I actually showed you any kind of pre-release hardware.
That's what I said. I don't know if it's appropriate to talk about.
I don't know actually who you might have been having lunch with that day.
But he showed it to me like we were two. We were showing each other our privates.
I'm pretty sure I would not have.
Have been released.
No, I don't think so.
He came out of a black pouch.
Out there, Robin.
I don't think so. But that's okay.
But you do remember that, don't you?
Sure.
Oh, that's sweet.
Well, I worked on the original iPod when I was so at that point I was doing lots of special projects at Apple as a lawyer, and I worked on the very first iMac before it was publicly known, the ones that were multiple colors.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked on, in fact, I got to choose some of the original colors.
Oh, cool.
Johnny asked me to help choose. He brought me into a room, a secret back room over at one of the buildings, and he said, which ones of these do you like? We're going to choose five of them. If you could choose five, which five would you choose? So I got to go, I like this, I like this, I don't like this. Why? Well, and then he's like, well, why? Why do you like this? Why do you like that? I go, well, I have this and this, and I don't like those. So yeah, so I got
very cool.
Because I have a music background, I was given this special project, and that was even more super secret than the original iMac project. Yeah, and there were, I think there were probably 10 of us that knew about what was going on at this point. And I was doing all of the contracts to put the licenses and manufacturing and all that stuff in place. And so they gave me one to play around with and find bugs. And I actually have my original one, which they gave to me for finding more bugs.
Than anybody else. Awesome.
So in the very first release of the software, I found more bugs than anybody else on the internal team. And so the reward for that was to get one of the very first ones off the line. So I don't know, it was number, you know, 8 or 10 or whatever the fuck it was.
Awesome.
So I got one of the very first ones. I still have it. Still works.
That's awesome.
Still cool.
Who would have thought, huh, that thing would just take off like crazy?
Well, so there's another good example. They came to me and they said, we want you to work on this project as an MP3 music player. And I already had Rio?
Mm-hmm.
Rios? I had a Rio that mm-hmm. plugged into iTunes, because we had iTunes before we had the iPod, right? We had already purchased iTunes from the company that made some other Mac software, something like that. So there was iTunes before there was the iPod, and the original iTunes connected to like a lot of different. It played connected to the Rio,
mm-hmm.
and it connected to the Creative. You could plug them in, and they would show up on the side, and they would let you record. They would let you transfer your music as long as it was not the AAC Music Store kind of stuff. Because I don't think we had this store right away.
No,
the store came later.
The store came when we introduced the iPod.
Right,
I think.
But before then, we didn't have the store. So they said, so I already had a music player. And they go, we're going to do this music player. And it's like, really? Like, we're going to do a music player? Like, you know, and I looked at it, and then I could see, you know, the early instant instantiations of this thing. And I thought, all right, it's cool, but, you know, like, it's real. How much? Really? You know? So thank God they didn't listen to me. They just said, you know, we don't care what you fucking think about it being a good product. Just test it. You know, make it work. Help us build it for cheap. Okay, I can do that. And I can divorce myself. And I would never have predicted that the iPod would have become the cultural phenomenon that it has become. Right? I mean, it's
a great invention. It really is.
So, who the fuck knows?
That's
now,
awesome.
You were asking me a question before the show about...
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead and ask.
Please,
and
really quickly. On the iTunes program, how can I burn DVDs onto my iTunes library so I can also burn it onto my iPod and watch movies on my iPod?
All right. So the short answer is that you need to get a program called Handbrake.
Handbrake.
Yeah. And Handbrake will allow you to take your DVD and rip your DVD. The challenge is that DVDs are encoded with copy protection.
Okay.
And depending upon the jurisdiction that you're in around the world, because people listen to this all over the place, it may or may not be legal to remove the copy protection.
Okay.
Okay, but Handbrake sort of says you're responsible for figuring out in your own jurisdiction whether or not it's okay to run this program.
Okay.
So when you put the DVD into your DVD drive and you run Handbrake, Handbrake will then strip off the copy protection and then encode the video, whichever title you tell it to. So usually there's a main title, which is the movie, and then there's a bunch of all the smaller titles, right, which are the previews and the behind the scenes and shit like that. And so Handbrake will encode whatever you tell it to encode as an MP3 file, as a MP4 file for an iPod or a video or for an Apple TV or for whatever the hell it is.
Okay.
And so that will create an output file, which will be, you know, about, I don't know, 700 megabytes, a gig, something like that. And then you can drag that into iTunes, and it'll show up on your iPod.
Perfect.
All right? Thank you.
Yes. Otherwise, iTunes obviously wants you to buy it from them. And
yeah, but it'll manage any media that you already have.
Okay.
As long as it's in the MP4 format.
Cool. Handbrake free?
Handbrake is free.
Wow.
And there are other software for the Mac and for Windows, but I know that Handbrake is available, I think, for both platforms. You don't have a Mac. You have a Windows?
Windows, correct.
Yeah, so I think that Handbrake is available, but if not, you'll be able to find a program that will rip it. And so you can't do it directly in because Apple doesn't provide that software for ripping it, but other things
will.
Good to
know. Thank you.
All right, there you go. And that's this week's Tech Corner with Robin the Nerd. All right. I want to talk a little bit about Obama and the State of the Union speech tonight, what's going on with the economy, and what's happening and stuff. So we'll do a little of that stuff, okay? You'll jump in? Will you please jump in?
I'll try.
Jump in. All right. We're having a good conversation here with Sherry, Parviz, and John. We're inviting you all. Please stick around. So stick around.
Gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
What's with these homies dissing my girl? Why do they got a front? What did we ever do to these guys that made them so violent? Ooh, but you know I'm yours. Ooh, and I know you're mine. Ooh, and
Empire State Building.
Actually, it's a second bedroom with some bath mats taped to the wall.
And broadcasting loud to all time zones around the world in stereo.
It's a medium bitrate podcast. Oh, and it's mono.
This is
Schnauzer Logic! Okito! Okito! Wake up! Wake up! Okito! Welcome back. We're 7 minutes into the second hour. Schnauzer Logic. It's our 20-something. No, it's our 74th episode. Recorded 27th of January, 2010. My name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian. Ladies and gentlemen, friend of yours. I trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with Zarsis of humor and a master in city planning. www.schnauzerlogic.com. Robin at schnauzerlogic.com. Okito! It's Japanese for wake up. I have an alarm clock that says that. Okito! Welcome back, John DeCoven.
Sona Vista.
How you doing, all right?
I'm doing great.
All right, welcome back, Sherry Stevens.
Sona Vista.
You doing okay, too?
I'm trying to wake up.
Wake up, wake up! And this guy.
What? If you want to wake up, we can get into another argument, if that's what you want.
All right. Hey, you set a date. John DeCoven, getting married.
Yeah, getting married July 17th.
July 17th,
birthday.
Put that on your calendar, all right?
My and birthday.
How old will you be, John?
How old will I be? 45.
Nice. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's
you're a young dude.
So her son, who lives in Scotland, that's the only time he can come over. And she says, do you mind if we get married on your birthday? And of course, I'm like, no, because I'll never forget it. Right? I mean, that was an easy setup.
Yeah.
Was that a joke?
Yeah. No. I'm not like Hippo Dada. I'm not taking it.
Not that easy.
Yeah. First sign of controlling right there.
Yeah, you know.
So are you guys going to do a honeymoon? Or?
We're not quite sure there yet. But,
so this is we know that this is not your, this is your second marriage.
It's my second and last.
At least as far as you know. Okay. And her first, her second?
It's her second.
Her second.
Oh,
okay.
Good. Good. Yeah. That's good.
Okay. Yeah. You were worried?
Well, I mean, it's good that she has something under her belt like that.
Well, but.
Because chances are, well, she won't screw it up.
No. Well, see, now here's where you're going to feel guilty, because she didn't screw up her first marriage. Her husband died.
Oh, that's awkward.
Yeah.
Well, unless she really screwed up.
Like pushed him?
Or pork. Yeah. Oh.
How did he die?
He had a brain aneurysm.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, fudge. Young, you know, young widow. So.
Oh,
that's,
yeah. That sucks.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Do you know that yesterday was the 25th anniversary of my brain aneurysm?
Wow. Is that right?
Really?
25 years ago, my head exploded.
Wow.
Literally, head exploded. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And hasn't changed me.
Not at all.
Wow.
Oh, that's I didn't mean to hijack that part of the conversation.
No,
it was just,
I mean, it was just.
I actually, it's not often that people mention aneurysm stories. I go, ooh, I could share.
Well, throw that in there, yeah.
I could top that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping somebody talks about a colonoscopy in this.
I had one.
Did you? So did I.
Really?
Yeah.
And?
Well, I don't know if you probably don't remember this. But
I do, when you were in Curtis's class.
When we met in Curtis's class, I had just had one done. I was like 35, and he said, well, write about something that happened to you lately. I'm like, okay. And that was my first set.
Yeah.
It was all about my colonoscopy.
So you just had another one?
No. This was back then.
Ten years ago.
Oh, I just had one.
Oh, but you just had one. Was it? I haven't had one yet.
Well, you should have one. What are you waiting for?
I'm waiting for them no longer to have to put something up my ass when they're doing. If you must know the truth.
Just like the iPad, it changes every 6 months. He's waiting for better tools.
I'm waiting for a way to do it that doesn't require putting me to sleep.
I hate to say this. Honestly, I was listening to the podcast last week where you talked about your surgery.
Yes.
And I was cringing.
Good.
Because when I hear that, I mean, I was in the car. I couldn't take it. I literally had to turn it off. But if you have had, if you've had that done,
yes,
having a colonoscopy is going to be like
water
in a park.
It's the same thing, but the other way.
Well, but it's not going to be. You won't even feel it. They, I mean, they kind of give
minute,
you a light sedative.
I have a very young asshole. I may feel it. I mean, you're making.
Yeah. I still remember, though, I said to the doctor.
I can't believe my assumption about Andy Richter so out of line.
I said,
Daddy.
I still remember, though, I said to the doctor, and I'm sure he's heard this a million times, but, you know, when we were going in there and then he starts in, I said,
buy me dinner first. Buy me dinner first. Yeah.
I said, aren't you going to kiss me first?
Yeah. Oh, that's the second time I already read out your jokes, huh?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Fuck.
Well, I don't even remember that. I don't even remember that. He, you know, I was
so
out.
So it was
before.
Like a date.
I was out the whole time.
You woke up, you were a little sore.
Wallet's gone.
It was
money on the dresser.
A little note, call me.
All right. I know I need to have it.
What do you need to have it for? Let's explain that.
Well,
to prevent colon cancer.
But why at 50 or 45?
Well, that's what the doctors have said. You should have it done when you're 50.
Because they need money.
Or if you have a history. Now, what happened with me, I was 35. We won't get into it. There was a little something going on.
You had blood in your stool?
Yeah, but it was more than that.
Wasn't that a Dylan album?
So,
it was acoustic. You're right.
Thank you.
It was a Christmas album. So you have blood in your stool every day.
Well, yeah, and so my at the time, my wife's brother, who was a doctor in Vegas, said, you know, it's probably nothing, but you should get it checked out. And he said, if your insurance will pay for the colonoscopy, go for the colonoscopy, because you could do the colonoscopy or the sigmoidoscopy. So, yeah, I did it. Everything was cool.
You could just have a hooker blow up.
Yeah,
there.
You know. But the thing is, it's the
put a straw.
But it's the most. But, you know, I was petrified the night before because I'm thinking about this fucking colonoscopy, and all I could help saying to myself was, shit, what if I enjoy this thing? No, I wanted
I
the drum
the wrong
roll.
Button.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. Hold
okay,
on.
Hold on. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
But wait a second.
But
it's
the most, I don't know if it's the number one, but it's the one of the most preventable
cancer.
Because if they find it, they clip out the
right
thing.
So what was it then?
Say that line again about the enjoying. Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, all I could help thinking was like, oh my God, what if I enjoy this thing?
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Nice. Nice.
Thank you very much. Nice. Thanks for indulging me.
The comedy stylings of Goldstein and Dukovin.
The 2020
it
comedy
was, it was like a bad hemorrhoid type
that popped
of deal.
And bled.
You know? Yeah, basically.
Yeah. All right. So how do you know? So wait a second. How do you know if you have it or not? If it's painful and you're bleeding?
Have what?
If you have something bad going on down
so
there.
There's a lot of things. I mean, anytime you're going to see blood in your stool, that's not okay. Something's going on.
Crap.
There should never be blood coming out of any part of your body.
Yes.
Crap.
Well, I'm not going to say that 100%.
Yeah.
Because, well, you know what? This topic's going to go into an area we don't need to, but...
Oh, really? Like the first beginning
people,
wasn't gone...
Well, because some people in that area get...
Blood.
Hemorrhoids.
Right. So occasionally things are going to happen, but
right.
I can kind of tell now what it is.
I like this movement. I can kind of like point that thing somewhere else, John.
We got a sound effect for that, too.
It's Tiger.
Can I say something?
Right.
Offset, go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say something about Tiger.
No.
That one you're going to have to explain to the audience.
No.
I want to say something about Tiger.
No. Okay, so do I. You can go first.
I just heard that the golfing has just gone down the toilet, that nobody's watching golf, and they're assuming that it could be because of Tiger's gone.
They're not playing golf now, are
no,
they?
No, I think the game's done.
Yeah
for the...
It's
for
over.
The yeah.
I heard that supposedly he's been told he's not allowed to masturbate.
When?
He's in this
Well, we
rehab.
Don't know that that's true, right? I mean,
yeah.
they're claiming that's not him.
Oh, they're claiming that's not him.
They're claiming that that's not him.
Not okay. Him what?
The black guy in the lower left?
That's why you're the master.
Yeah. Stop laughing. It's not funny.
It's Tiger.
There was a photograph that was supposedly taken at this sexual compulsive rehab facility or whatever it was, with a guy with a hoodie, and it was a TMZ. I think it was a TMZ that had it.
Who else?
It was TMZ that had it, and so that's where all these stories are coming out about. Well, they're saying the Tiger's in for being a sexual what's the term I'm looking
addict
for?
Deviant.
Yeah,
addict.
No. Yeah, sexual like Duchovny, right? He's a compulsive. He's a compulsive sexicator, and now they're saying that wasn't him, and so I don't know what the story is. So you read that he was not allowed to pleasure himself.
That is one of the rules.
How do you monitor that?
Well, exactly. You got to let the patients take it into their own hands. Be ready on that, please. I got a bunch of them.
What did you say, John?
I said you got to let the patients take it into their own hands.
That's not right.
But actually, I know we're kind of going all over the place. I heard actually what just opened, and this isn't a joke. You don't need to be near the thing. They just is the very first clinic for internet addiction.
Oh, really?
Yeah, $14,000.
Okay.
And they keep you in there for like 45 days.
Without a computer.
Yeah, no computer, no cell phone.
Can you masturbate?
Yes. But since you don't have a computer, it's no fun. you have to use your imagination.
No, you bring out the iPad.
To watch.
You flip the pages of the iPad.
You have to use your imagination.
Oh, that's good times.
And
good times.
That's what we think about the President Obama's State of the Union speech. You can send comments to Robin at ShadowLogic.com.
That's right up.
By the way, shocking news. This came out of left field. John Edwards apparently fathered a child.
No, he filed for divorce, or they filed for divorce today.
Yes. Just kidding.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah. that was a joke I told last week, right, from the Andy Borowitz?
Wasn't?
Yes, there's two Americas, and John Edwards has fathered a child in both of them. The one that Jason actually thought was pretty funny.
So but... You know, there was speculation that this child was his before, right?
No, that's why I'm joking. It's like, what's the baseball player?
Lou Gehrig.
No. The guy. No, he was in the lower right. The other one.
Babe Ruth.
Mark McGuire. Like when McGuire came out and said he did steroids. Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but he also said that he did not do them for performance enhancing, right? He did it because...
For his health.
Unfucking believable.
He did it because he was reaching for the
worst nuts. Liar.
And he would have hit just as many home runs if he was not doing
it. I don't think so.
No, but he would have hit as many home runs as Andy Richter had not been on, had not been his cleanup batter. That's true. Actually, Richter's actually a pretty good ball player.
Is he?
Yeah, he could hit a home run in the celebrity softball game before the...
Does that change your opinion of him?
No, he doesn't. It's true. Yeah. He hit a home run. It was on TV and stuff like that. Yeah, so... Yeah. McGuire, what a fuck. And can we do a little sports? So the Super Bowl is in 2 weeks.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right? And so...
good for the Saints.
Yeah, I guess good for the Saints.
Good for the country.
What the fuck happened with Brett Favre?
Favre.
What do you mean? What happened? 5 interceptions?
I mean, did you watch the game?
Yes, I did.
So, I'm not a football person, but because I was recovering, I watched all of the playoff games, right? Well, the week before.
Okay.
So, I watched the divisional championships as well, and then I watched... So, I watched all of them, mm-hmm. right? Some were better than others, whatever it was. But from what I understood, I mean, all he needed to do was to basically not lose any yardage... So that the field goal kicker could, because they kept saying he's within the thing. So like he could have taken the ball and just immediately just put it down, right? Mm-hmm. Just put the ball fucking right down, right there. And so what happens where
ego? It's got to be ego. Because,
I mean, that's what I'm trying to. Did you see the game?
No,
because he threw like 4 interceptions right before that one. So he's probably thinking, I want to redeem myself.
I really
want to
understand this. Did you see the game?
I didn't see it.
All right.
Either that or there's got to be somebody who's controlling the plays. Or maybe him, but somebody's got to give him advice. So just hand it off. Don't put it in the air.
But he's been playing for how many years? For 20 years? I mean,
yeah.
he's not a... I mean,
39.
He should know.
He's got... Right, he should know.
I think he had his colonoscopy. Oh, if I bring a call back, they're not funny. Is that how this works?
Fire!
All right. My callbacks aren't funny. Is that what you're saying?
Nobody's saying any of this.
Yes. You're being too sensitive.
Don't you understand how much the audience loves you? We're still looking for that 10th review, by the way, on the iTunes Music Store. If you listen to this show and you have not given us a 5-star review on the iTunes Music Store, and you feel in good conscience that you can give us a 5-star review on the iTunes Music Store...
Out of how many stars?
Out of 5.
Okay.
We would like to ask you to give us a 5-star review on the iTunes Music Store. We've been stuck at 9 reviews for many, many years, and as somebody who is terribly obsessive compulsive, that disturbs me. It almost makes me want to generate a new iTunes account under a fake name just so that I can write
a 5-star review.
A 5-star review for myself.
I mean, come on, people, you're not paying for this. Just throw a review in. What's the big deal?
Bunjos.
Comedy.com.
How was Rich?
He was awesome.
Rich, I should have had him on the show, right?
He was awesome.
Rich who, John?
Rich Voss.
Do you have a way to get in touch with him?
Yeah.
Do you think you get him on the show?
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Was he good? Full House?
Yeah, I mean, you know, seeing a guy like that, he does a lot of crowd work, very, you know, small room.
Was Bonnie with him?
Huh?
Was his wife Bonnie with him? Or
No, he was just by himself.
Is he very Bobby Slayton-ish?
He hates that comparison. He's Bobby Slayton-ish, but friendlier.
He's not the bull pitbull of comedy.
But and it was a great show.
He did a joke a few years ago. I thought it was a funny thing. Apparently his kids were in the supermarket with him, and they said something like... he said, if you guys don't behave, I won't feed you, or something like that. And they're like, what, like raise me or something? Do you remember that? Anything?
No.
Remember that, Sherry?
He's a nice guy, and we played golf. He's a pretty good golfer. All right.
Is he funny?
Oh, he was on Alice Radio, so we got some plugs in there.
Most excellent.
Is he funny on the golf course, like off the side?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
When did you golf? It's been raining for 11 days.
You know, just that one day it didn't rain.
You were lucky.
But he's a good... Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Opie and Anthony, and he's a regular on there. And they beat him around pretty mercilessly. But you can tell that, like, he's enough of a pro.
He's very self-deprecating.
Yeah, he doesn't care. Yeah. He's fine. And so they were doing a bit once where they used to do this walkover because Opie and Anthony were doing, like, 2 hours on commercial radio, and then they would do 2 hours on satellite radio, or three and two, or whatever the fuck it was. And so they would do the walkover when they would basically walk down, I don't know, 57th Street. From one set of studios to the other, and so this became a big deal. You know, they were trying to make it interesting to do the walkover, and so Rich Voss, who's a regular on the show, would come over and walk with them, and they would make him go into a Starbucks and do like 2 minutes of stand-up
right.
in the Starbucks.
It's on,
like,
YouTube. It's hilarious.
And it's hilarious. Yeah. And you realize that like I didn't know anything about him until I saw that thing on YouTube. Boyana will put Rich Voss Starbucks YouTube. So just a little note to you, we'll find that clip, we'll put it up on the blog. How funny, because you have to be completely fucking fearless and a pro, just like, all right, you want me to go do it? I'll just go do it. This is not an audience that wants to see you, right? And just go in there, and he made people laugh, and then just get the fuck out. So it was really, really good.
Yeah. That's awesome.
All right. Guy.
So you got anybody coming? Who's coming up?
Tomorrow.
Because you always make a big story about how, well, we don't have any national
names. Well, that was...
and then suddenly you have, like, this big fucking name.
I got Lori Kilmartin. She's been on Comedy Central a couple times.
I know Lori.
She was on Shallow Hal. Lori Keitlinger. Oh, sorry. sorry.
Yeah. Anyways...
I'll ask to interrupt next time.
That's all right.
we have... Michael Slack. I don't know if you ever met him. He was in Curtis's class.
Yeah.
So he's a funny guy. We're doing... Oh, we got a show. It's called the Not Dead Yet Tour.
Okay.
And it's all comedians in their 60s.
Jay Leno.
50s. Jay Leno. Yes.
Sorry.
All right.
I was just digging you.
You know, so, yeah. Got some good
Jay Leno. Kippadada.
We have our Killer Laughs comedy competition, 3rd annual.
Oh, really? You would ask me in March. Judge a little bit of that last year.
Maybe I'll invite you again this year and you can't show up.
No. This year I'm feeling better.
Oh, okay.
I would love to do it. You were sweet to invite me. You don't take these things personally. You understand that I'm not like... It's not like I'm sitting here laughing at you.
No.
Okay. I can't look at Parvis when I say that. I'm afraid I'll be struck down dead.
Hey, I've got exploding underwear right now. It's going to go off at any time.
You and me both, baby. Hummus for lunch. Right on.
It's only funny to us.
Imagine what we just did with our fist and man. You know? We need like a little video of that.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. Yeah. Okay.
That's exciting.
All right, we'll take another break. We'll play some more tunage. Let's see here. Yeah, we'll play something else. All right, we'll be back on the other side. I want to talk about some politics. I'm serious about this. I think the president has gone off the fucking rails.
I love that you say it like that.
The idea that he is now going to like tighten up spending and put all these price controls in. I mean, every economist on either side of the aisle is basically saying that's the wrong. I mean, the economy is just on the verge of going into this massive double dip recession, into a deep depression, and he's like going to stop spending at the same time.
You're telling me the golden child is doing something wrong?
Well, golden only in hue.
He is never on the right side of the screen.
Very nice.
feel like we should end the show right now.
Right,
we can't, but we'll do the segment. We're back on the other side. I got nothing.
Oh, that was good, John.
Take a bow.
Thank you, Barbie. Won a show. Won a show.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
Talking about you right now.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 32 minutes into this second hour of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, Parviz Patali, and John DeCoven all saying Sona Vista to each and every one of you and various commutations, permutations, and all of that good stuff. And not to spend any long time on it, but during the break you mentioned that you heard me mention last week that I had seen the Ricky Gervais film, The Invention of Lying, and that you were surprised that I had enjoyed it. It was the only, you said it was the second film?
One of the few movies that
I've ever walked out on.
Yeah.
It was slow moving, as I admitted to you during the break, although in the second half of the movie, when Andy Richter leaves, it gets much better. So that part is true. That part is true, but I thought it was kind of a sweet film. So, but the other film you say you walked out of was Titanic?
Yeah.
You walked out of Titanic.
Really?
Wow. Overhyped. And it was so funny because I was with my mom. You've met my mom.
Love your mom.
And we're in there and, you know, it's probably 2 hours into the movie and she says, and she's like, you know, Voss. She doesn't care what other people think or whatever. And she just says to me out loud, okay, when's this boat going to hit the fucking iceberg already?
I think we should go around the table.
Your mom
talk
uses
about,
language like that?
Oh, yeah.
Talk about what movies we walked out of.
All right, you first.
Me? Superman. The Return with Kevin Spacey. The one that just came out 2 years ago, I think, or 3 years ago. Superman Return.
Oh, yeah.
With the new Superman.
Where he plays Lex Luthor.
Correct. Kevin Spacey plays Lex Luthor. I walked out. I was bored to tears about an hour into it. I couldn't believe it. I was so excited to see that movie.
Wow.
That was the last one I remember walking out of.
Okay.
Sherry?
I don't think I've ever walked out of a movie, but I've been pretty we didn't walk out.
Was there ever a movie, that you rented and you started playing it and you thought, fuck it, I'm not watching the end of this?
Yeah, but I don't remember what it
porn.
Was.
Not a porno.
Yeah, that'd be different.
Yeah.
Do you ever walk out of making a movie?
No.
I get nothing for that.
No.
Nothing. All right. Quit. Robin, what'd you walk out
You're
of?
You're an amateur. Da, da, da. Oh wait, I have walked out of films. I can't remember what, but I recently I shut off Bruno.
Oh, I heard it's horrible.
I shut off Bruno. I started watching Bruno. I love Sacha Baron Cohen. I thought the Ali G show was good. His first Ali G movie, which he made for the UK, was okay. You know, it was silly, but it was kind of okay.
Borat
was really funny, I thought. Kind of insightful. You know, it kind of slops into some silliness every now and then, but I really enjoyed it. And Bruno, I remember the Bruno character from the Ali G show, so I figured, all right, this will be fine. I don't know how he's going to maintain this for, you know, an hour and a half or whatever, but all right, I'll hang with it. And it started off, and it was sort of this over-the-top, campy, gay, you know, bad stereotype kind of thing. And I thought, all right, you can't try to, like, that's not a movie. Like, 90 minutes of that isn't a movie, so he must do something else. And it just got worse and worse and worse. It bordered on sort of bad porn. And I probably about 15, 20 minutes into it, I thought, I just don't need to see this anymore. Like, you know, I'm losing life here. You know?
I heard the DVD of Bruno, I heard the extras were way better than the actual movie.
Well, I'll never know. I'll never know. Now, I'll tell you what is a guilty pleasure. I have guilty pleasures. I'm guessing you do, too.
Don't we all?
In films. For me, the Fast and the Furious movies.
No way.
Guilty pleasures.
You like that shit?
I love those films.
Andy Richter must be in those movies.
I have to tell you, I've never seen any of those films in a theater. Those are late night Cinemax, 2 in the morning.
No shit.
And every one of those films. The other film like that for me was Crank with Jason Statham.
Transformers or Transporter.
Transporter. Yes. The original Crank.
Yeah.
Right, where he basically plays kind of a bad guy hitman, and he's given this, you know, Chinese inject him with this poison that's going to kill him in 24 hours, and so he has to keep his heart racing with adrenaline. So at the end of that movie, he is falling towards the earth from an airplane about 15,000 feet up in the air, and he's plunging towards the ground, and it ends with him. Boom, hitting this car and then bouncing onto the street and his eye is open and that's how the film ends. And so you figure, well, that's it. They did a Crank 2, High Voltage. And I watched it last night on DVD.
No shit.
And I have to, it's less than two, it's less than 90 minutes. I think it's an hour and 10 minutes. Like, it's almost an episode of Starsky and Hutch. You know what I mean? It's almost nothing. It is such a comic book. It's like watching a comic book video game. There's nothing real in it, but it's Pookie ought to watch it just for the stylistic point of view of it. And I immediately thought to myself, I watched it last night and I was laughing because it's so absurd, it's so funny. If you like Jason Statham, do you like
I never seen Crank though.
You got to rent Crank,
all right,
and then go rent Crank High Voltage number 2.
I've never seen Fast and the Furious as well, but is that? I mean, it's really brain farts, right? I mean, it's just vacant entertainment.
Yeah.
what guilty pleasures do you have?
Yeah.
What are yours?
Movies wise?
Or television? You know what?
Slapstick comedy for me, for movies. Anything. Like, remember in the old days, it was a Naked Gun and Hot Shots and Airplane and stuff like that. So anything goofy like that, but which we haven't had in a super long time. You know, when the scary movies came out, I had to see them. They're so stupid, but that kind of shit I liked.
John?
You know, movies, I can't think of anything. TV, I mean, it's, you know, a lot of the reality shows.
Yeah.
And what I used to love, they don't have it on anymore, was with the nerds, Beauty and the Geek. Did you ever see that?
That was like 2 episodes.
No, they had 3 seasons.
They did?
Yeah. Oh. Of course, I love the Trump one.
Prentice.
And there were all kinds of these goofy, like, love ones that only were 1 or 2. They just had one that was like the conveyor belt of love, where these guys were on a conveyor belt.
I remember that. But as a movie, there's no movie you go screaming out to see when it comes out, like an actor or genre.
A movie that, like, you won't tell anybody that you watch, but you'll watch it like at 2 in the morning and go, I really want to see this.
Well, I'll tell you what movie I saw that I was surprised I liked. It was, and we were on the plane, so that was one of the few things on, was Sandra Bullock and, I know.
Oh, The Proposal.
Exactly.
I saw it on a plane, too. I thought it was adorable.
A friend of mine told me he liked it. I said, you fag. And then it was like, not that there's anything wrong with it. And but I saw the movie on the plane, and it was funny.
It was
You know
funny.
It was funny?
Betty
Did
White.
You see it?
Betty White
Not
was
yet.
Awesome.
No, Betty White, but no, the guy that had all the different jobs.
The Spanish dude.
Yeah.
He's in The Office.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You're right.
So.
He played the stripper. I hated that movie. It was all right. Betty White, I like a lot. What about you? What's your guilty pleasure?
My guilty pleasure is Oprah and Ellen.
No, movie-wise.
Oh, I don't... Movie-wise, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, it just...
Like love stories or Fast and Furious or gore?
I guess, you know, just comedies, but most of it, you know, I can't think of anything that I would really consider a guilty pleasure. If I'm going to go out to the movies, it's going to be just to see probably a romantic comedy or a drama, you know, like, what's the one that Matt Damon's been doing? I'm blanking on that.
Invictus?
No. The series, the Bourne series.
Oh, Bourne Supremacy.
Yeah, Invictus. Yeah.
Invictus. But
there, Nelson Mandela plays the spy for the CIA.
The series.
Have you guys seen Precious?
I know.
Because here's the thing. I know it's
You're
supposed
not
to be a very
name
good
right.
movie.
You're not I know.
Right. I know.
We have a rule on this show.
How
We're going to say
what
the name.
What is it? It's Precious based
on the novel...
P something.
Push
by
I don't know
Sapphire.
Is that's officially the title?
It's Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Right. But no, but that's like a movie. Like it's supposed to be a very good movie, but I just won't go see it because it just seems
depressing.
Too depressing.
Yeah,
and the title's too long.
exactly, and the title's too long.
What's so exciting about Oprah and Ellen?
Well, it's a guilty pleasure. Okay. I mean, you don't tell people that you are watching Oprah.
It's not really because
Ellen maybe not Oprah. You're allowed to watch.
Yeah, we do tell people that you watch Oprah or Ellen. Nobody's here. But I said Fast and the Furious. You go really?
Yeah.
Right, that makes
you
it
seem,
a guilty.
You seem relatively intelligent.
That seems right. That's what makes it a guilty pleasure.
Okay. Right. Right.
So
right.
What are the things that you?
All right, so, well, I don't know. I don't know if it'd be, like, Nobody's listening. It's okay.
I know.
Like, if you were to say, Dancing with the Stars.
No, I don't watch this.
You know.
I mean, I'll watch it for a couple of minutes, but then I can't. I don't love it. Things that I love.
Or Maury.
Maury.
No. But my kids, like Nicole, she'll watch Cheaters, and I'll watch that with her occasionally.
Okay, well, there you go. So Cheaters has got to qualify with Joey...
Buttafuoco.
No.
You know what, though?
There are
so many, like, if do you watch The Soup at all?
I do.
You know, he shows all these ones like you never would know about.
Right.
Without for him.
Well, yeah. I saw this one. It was like Frank in the Basement or something.
Yes, yes,
and this is some guy and he lives in his basement with his parents.
Yes.
And then if
the women
to advance, they get a key to his basement.
That guy on Soup, that hosts his Soup, have you ever seen Community? Is that a good show?
There, I really enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, it is good.
It's a good show. Okay.
I really enjoy it, yeah.
I've never seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think Thursday night's a solid night for NBC, right?
Yeah.
They have...
Yeah. Park and Recreation is getting better.
It's getting better.
It was
right?
rough. It was rough that first season.
But it's getting better because, well, they're giving more to Aziz Anasi, and they're giving... Amy Poehler is not so too... She's not trying to play a female version of Steve Carell.
Okay.
Right? Initially, she was basically trying to do The Office in Indiana in a park, and that was just, like, not working. So,
I think that's why I stopped watching it because I was like, this is
The Office in Indiana in a park.
Exactly.
And 30 Rock, I think, is still,
awesome.
You know, so here's how I know that 30 Rock is good. There are shows that, for me, are double watches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have to watch them twice. Other things, like the moment it's done, boom, it's off the TiVo. Like, it's immediately delete. You know, boop, 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 and it's gone. But 30 Rock,
you'll
that's
watch
a double,
another day.
That's
I
a double
always watch.
Watch
it twice now
really?
Because I find that there are so many sight gags that are on in the background that you don't catch because you're watching the forefront of the dialogue or what's happening, that you don't catch those. But the second time around, you know, you kind of know it's coming, and so you can see what's going on in the background.
That's
and it's hilarious.
It's a double view. Californication was a double view because there's always so much going on there that I just couldn't get the whole story. The ones with the nerds, the Big Bang Theory.
The Big Bang Theory.
That requires two watch. That's a double watch for me.
How is Chuck and Heroes this year? This season?
I can't talk about Heroes. Chuck is interesting. So Chuck took what was a very, well-established formula, right? Which was he's kind of a nebbish and he has some superpowers that he doesn't really know what to do with. And he's sort of being protected. And they turned it on its ear, right? And they made him the spy this season. And I think that was a risky thing for them to do. Because it could have blown the whole thing up. I mean, if he's got power, if he can kick somebody's ass, then maybe you don't love him so much anymore. Maybe he's not so lovable if he actually has the ability to kick somebody's ass. But they've done a really nice job of kind of tempering that with more of his sister's husband, right? Brother-in-law and stuff like that. I think they've done a nice job of keeping that. And, of course, they're golden because NBC is not getting rid of any of their fucking primetime programming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as long as it's not like Rape My Daughter, you know, the comedy. I mean, as long as they don't have that, you're going to stay on NBC right now. They can't afford to get rid of any primetime programming.
No, they need primetime
programming. Right, right. Ugly Betty, I just read, was canceled by ABC.
Never saw it.
I watched it on and off.
Did you?
Yeah. It's funny.
Thanks for sharing.
I liked it the first season, and then I think it just gets old after a while. Nothing fresh.
So I promised myself that we wanted to do a little bit of politics here.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
So so last week was the election in the United States in Massachusetts, right, which is to fill in for Ted Kennedy's seat, the lion of the left who passed away. And surprise, 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 a Democrat was not elected to that position, but in fact a kind of a moderate Republican was elected to that position. Scott
Are you saying
Brown.
Surprise, surprise, surprise sarcastically?
Or? No, I'm a, no, 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 no.
Are
I think
you are surprised.
I am a little surprised. I think the common wisdom was that was a seat that would be deeded from Democrat to Democrat, right?
Well, I think what happened, I mean, I wasn't following it as much. I think they took it for granted. That was the problem.
Part exactly. of it, yeah.
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 And he drove a truck.
And people said, some people voted for Scott to protest whatever's going on in the country. Is that correct? It wasn't necessarily that they wanted Scott. They just wanted to say, hey, knock it off. This, you know, we're you guys got too much power and whatnot.
We're unhappy.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, and not that my mom, again, is the key for voting, but she's a diehard liberal, and she commented on how good-looking the guy was. I mean, she said...
Well, he was a...
He posed for Cosmo.
Yeah.
Showed his cuckoo, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he drives a truck, and that's the whole... And his daughter's a saint, was on American Idol.
Right.
So...
And his wife is a
news
flight
reporter.
Attendant? No, news reporter. Yeah.
Same thing. So. I like how you have a hard time saying penis.
I don't have a hard time saying penis.
Well, then what? You,
what did I say?
Cuckoo.
Yeah, cuckoos. Well, that's the way I say penis. Yeah.
Did you hear that on the sex tape that got out about John Edwards and this woman that apparently gasps were heard by those that viewed his cuckoo?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's well endowed.
Wow.
He's apparently got talent.
That's good.
Okay.
The situation.
The situation.
So the Democrats are taking a beating, and I think this is this has got to be the fastest reversal of fortune in political times. I mean, the Democrats went from basically controlling the House, the Senate, and the office of the presidency and having a supermajority to looking like they're at risk in the midterm elections, which are coming up this year, of maybe losing control of the House and or the Senate. I mean, they won't lose control of the presidency in the midterms, but I mean, how do you are an independent fucking Republican? So
I voted for Obama.
I understand.
I mean, I vote.
You had to. You were Jewish.
I want to legalize pot. I mean, I'm not a staunch.
So how do you explain what's going on here? Does he have a tin ear? Did he? I mean, he seemed to have the huevos, right, before he got into office, that he was sort of, he didn't really care what anybody thought. He was going to do what he thought was the right thing to do, but now he seems to not know what the right thing to do is. I think we would be happy with any kind of hard direction. We would be happy with you leading us. I'm looking at Parviz.
Oh.
No, but I mean, because you're confident in what you're saying, even if you're wrong.
Wait a second, though. Wait
That's
a second.
It's not a dig at you.
No, I wasn't wrong. It was my opinion. Again, you should say, I disagree with you, Parviz. Instead, you say, you're wrong. That's not true.
I disagree with that part.
Well, you know, what happened was...
It is amazing.
He got
one year
into
later.
Office and realized, you know what, this shit ain't as easy as I thought. I mean, that's he's got to please everybody, and before he didn't.
Robin, do you believe that Obama, deep down, is a good person and wants good for the country, but maybe might be surrounded by people that are steering him the wrong way,
or he's a communist?
I mean, what's the alternative for that for your proposition there?
Well, that, I guess
he's deep down, he's a bad person.
Well, do you think that... No, because I look at him with his kids, and I think, God, I can't imagine that he'd want the country to go
no,
in a bad
direction.
No,
he's a good person.
Yeah.
He's a good person. No, I think he's a good person, and I think that he has good intentions. Now, he may have more socialist intentions than people are comfortable with, but we won't know what'll happen until those things are put in place, so we don't really understand what those things mean. What I don't understand is how he let the healthcare process gets so fucking out of hand that he didn't basically just step in and like your heroes, the Three Stooges, right? why he wasn't Mo to Pelosi's Curly. And Reed's
Larry.
Thank you. And smash a couple of heads together. And it's like, look here, you knuckleheads. You fucking get this thing passed, or I'm going to get somebody in there who can get something passed, right? And use the power of the bully pulpit and use his position as president and all the other alliteration that I can come up with to force them to do his will. And instead, he felt like he was beholden to the Congress and to the Senate, and they dicked around. That's what they've been doing, is they've been dicking around. I do watch Fox News. I'm not a fan. I find it very hard to watch O'Reilly. Their commentary programs for me are very, very difficult.
I understand.
I try, but...
I don't like... Let me tell you, he's the only one that I watch. I can't stand Hannity.
I can't deal with Hannity.
I can't stand Beck.
Can't deal with Beck.
You know,
I don't
Greta,
like Moby.
Whatever. I mean, who?
Moby. I don't like Moby. I don't like Beck.
You know,
Counting Crows, the whole
so,
thing.
So, anyways.
But I do thank you.
Yeah, Puppies yeah, yeah, yeah. is on 30 yeah, seconds
I,
delay.
I
was thinking Moby Dick.
You see
Beck,
what I did, Dick? You see
yeah,
what I did
yeah, yeah,
there?
Yeah, 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 thing, yeah. But right when you said Black Crows, I was
it's
on
like,
it.
It's like I'm shaking a cocktail.
That shit's funny.
but what somebody, I think it was, said was, said, you know, George Bush, who had a far less compelling majority in either the House or the Senate, operated as though he was people were 100% behind him. Like, where's the Democrats', you know, sense of entitlement? And why don't they move forward in the same? And I think that's what. Now, the other smart thing that somebody said was Jeff Moranis, who's been on the show with us, hopefully come back again. And Jeff said that he thought that what they missed in Massachusetts was that in Massachusetts, the voters are not Republicans or Democrats first. They're Yankees first. Right? They're New Englanders first. Mm-hmm. And New Englanders are thrifty, and New Englanders are very suspicious of outsiders, right? It's Titus Moody, right? Pepperidge Farm remembers, and we'll cut off your nuts. You know, and so I think he's right. I think that this was a vote against sort of an anti-New England kind of thing, and the woman, I forget what her name was, she really seemed like a carpetbagger. Even though she was from New England, she didn't know anything about the Red Sox, she didn't know anything about the Pats, you know what I mean? Mm. She didn't go to the factories in Woburn and Waltham and, you know, shake hands and kiss babies and stuff like that. She sort of
assumed she was going to win.
They're okay with intellectuals. I mean, Harvard is there, Boston University is there, Boston College is there, Tufts University is there, MIT is there, you know, Wellesley there. So it's not like Massachusetts are anti-intellectual, but you still have to be part of the community, and they were not, and he was clearly part of the community, and mm-hmm. I think that's why he, and now the question is, when he goes to Washington, will he fall in line with the Republicans, or will he remain kind of a Massachusetts Republican, which is probably more independent, probably more like you,
mm-hmm.
right? He has said that he was pro-choice. Right? I think he said he was pro-choice. And I don't know what his position was on gay marriage, but I don't think he's a strident. He's not an evangelical.
No.
In his position. And he made fun of his daughters in a very sweet way. Don't you think?
Yeah, I didn't see anything wrong with it.
You voted. You would have voted for him.
Yeah, his daughters are hot. But I'm getting married.
You're getting married. Where are you guys going to live?
Where we live right now. And oh no, well, we're actually going to move. We live in Dublin right now, but we're going to move into, I have a rental in Pleasanton,
County Cork.
So my tenant doesn't know it yet, but he is going to be
evicted.
No, just when his lease is up, I won't renew it.
Okay,
you gonna let him know?
Sorry, Byron. Of course. Gonna let him know.
How long till his lease is up?
About 4 months.
Yeah, let him know now.
Yeah, I am.
All right.
Yeah. Don't worry.
This
about.
Is a fitness.
Byron.
This is considered notice.
You're noticed.
You're going to have to notice. Listen to the show.
Under California real estate law, this is considered notice.
Imagine if Byron comes up to you, I got a leak on the roof. Oh, listen to the show. I got some answers for you.
So are you guys living together now? I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've been living together over a year.
I had no idea.
Living, I didn't either.
Living in sin.
No. I had no idea. And compatible, and
yeah, everything's fine.
What does she do?
You know, she is. I think we talked about. She works for Michael Kors. Do you know who that is?
I
Sherry?
Do. Yes.
Do you, Robin?
It's a designer.
Yes. Designer in New York, but she's the manager for their department at Macy's.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, they're inside Macy's, but she doesn't work for Macy's.
Oh. Okay.
So it's a high end. You know, it's not a lot of money, but she gets a lot of cool clothes. So I think every 3 months she gets to shop. So she likes it. Sharp girl. Don't know why she's with me, but hey, what are you going to do?
You're adorable, John.
Oh, yeah.
He is adorable.
Yeah.
He is adorable.
Yeah. The more I get to know you, the more I fall in love with you myself.
Now, are you wear a tuxedo or...
Yeah, probably.
You have a tux?
No.
Okay.
Well, I'll rent one.
Are you going to... You feel like you need to slim down to get into a...
Yeah, I need to drop a few.
No, I wasn't. I was just curious, because people, when they get married, they...
It's a big deal.
Because there's photographs and stuff like that. That's right. So.
No matter how simple you try to keep the wedding, though, it's still a pain in the ass.
Oh, it does.
I mean, it
evolves into a huge. I think much like
a colonoscopy.
We've had more.
It flowers up in the dark.
We've had more. I don't want to say fights, but more disagreements in planning the wedding than we have in the 2 years.
Yeah.
We've been dating.
Yeah.
That's why. You know? That's why Angelina and Brad never got married.
Right.
They're getting divorced, aren't they? They're actually splitting up.
Are they?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Are they really?
I think so.
Whoa.
Like you have a chance.
No, not like I have a chance with Brad, but I was just shocked.
Now, let me actually, I want to run an idea by you guys here.
Sure.
Okay.
We're not doing anything else.
Here's my problem with the wedding. Okay, obviously, we're not kids. We have everything we need.
Correct.
Now, apparently, it's not kosher to ask for money.
Okay.
You know, you can't just say, look, don't buy me a gift, give me money, right? But let's think about it, Parviz. If I invite you to my wedding,
uh-huh.
It's going to cost me $30 to $50.
Okay.
Okay? If you go buy me a gift, you're probably going to spend $30 to $50.
Okay.
So wouldn't it be easier just to say, don't buy me a gift and just pay for your dinner? And we're in the same boat. We've spent the same amount of money.
No, it'd actually be easier to put a check on in a card than buying my dinner. Because that's my gift to you.
No, because I could sell it. I could have it all online ticketing.
What?
Fun jokes.
You're being too pragmatic about this.
But it does make complete sense.
So here's my suggestion.
Okay.
Go up to wedding.com or whatever and start a honeymoon fund.
There you go.
And people can buy you, you know, like...
Actually, I have a better thing than that. Best Buy
has
this thing called the wish list. And you can set it all up there and people can just... But you know what? Quite honestly, if people didn't want to give me anything, I wouldn't care. I just don't want to get a bunch of shit that I don't want, and then I have to start returning it.
Well, you're the one that's supposed to zap it at Best Buy's and Target, right?
A guest at a wedding is gonna be relieved at being able to say, "Oh, they're registered at Crate and Barrel. Great! You just go, you know,
yep.
Gift card. Whatever
Everybody's
it is,
gonna
it
have to give you
easier.
Something, John.
It's easier.
Everybody." They're not going to feel comfortable not giving you something.
No, they want to. They want to celebrate
your life
together.
Right, but they could just give me cash. So you guys heard it in case you're invited.
And what's an appropriate amount?
I have no idea.
Okay, of course you do.
No, I don't really. I don't. Apparently in the Chinese tradition, it's customary to give cash at a wedding.
Yes, in a red envelope.
Yes.
In a red envelope, exactly.
And you're almost Chinese.
So, well, no, I was telling Julie the other day, the biggest mistake I've made is I should have married a Chinese woman.
Yes.
Where's the rib shop for that?
That was actually the second biggest mistake.
The first was saying that on the air.
All right, we'll take our final break. We'll come back. We'll do a little more silly nish now's the logic. Robin Goldstein, Shari Stevens, Parviz Vitali, and the formerly single John DeCoven, all inviting you to please stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Music was so sweet, now we're right back in the alley. I'm ready.
orientation. Is there anything you do not understand? Is there anything you understand only partially? If you have not been fully oriented, you must file a complaint with personnel. File a faulty complaint, and they dock you.
Welcome back. We're 4 minutes into the second hour, last segment here of Schnauzer Logic, our 74th episode next week. Big 75th episode next week. Four-year anniversary. 4 years ago that Parviz Vitali and I sat in this room. I think Sean was on the phone.
Yes, he was.
And we did like an hour of Schnauzer Logic. We kind of pulled it together. I don't think we had done any radio. You had been on my AirPlay show a couple of times.
Yep.
Sean had done Fridays with me on AirPlay, but we hadn't done anything for long. I think I'd done a couple of fill-in spots on KSCO, but that was it. And we sat down, and we, with nobody, no audience at all, we just started talking and having fun and laughing, and here we are 4 years later with over 1,000 listeners a week who enjoy the show around the world. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Robin.
And we're going to try to get Sean next week for sure.
Unfortunately, I hope so.
He's been MIA. Yeah, I know that he's got some medical issues with his own kidney, so I'm sorry to hear about that. I sent him a text, and we'll see what we can do about getting him at least on the phone next week. So
that would be good, because I won't be here.
You will not be here.
No, I'll be skiing.
Oh, shushing down the mountains.
Shushing down the mountains.
Very nice. In preparation for your sort of your last hurrah before something new happens?
Before
yes,
the Olympics?
It's my last hurrah before I start a new job.
She's getting a new job.
Yep.
That's what I hear.
Congratulations.
Yay. Woo! Yep. So I'm excited about that.
She's going to the company that makes buggy whips.
Whoa.
It's going to be awesome.
Yes, it will. It's the last great thing.
It is.
So this is kind of interesting. I'm just going to mention this for a second here. I was looking on Huffington Post, and there was an article about very obvious recurrent dreams that people that seem to be kind of common. And the three most common themes in dreams are being in school long after the dreamer's graduated, being in a house that keeps changing its physical shape, and seeing a dead person who's alive in your dream. And I looked at this like, oh my God, like I have all three of those like on a regular basis. Is any of those sound?
Dead people, yeah.
I would have put in my top three sleeping with two women.
It is a dream.
Ba-boom, boom.
No, I mean, no. Not
you've had dreams like that?
I mean,
really?
As a guy?
Those are recurring dreams?
Or in your,
oh, recurring. Yeah. Well, what do you consider recurring?
Dead people.
When you actually are in a dream state, uh-huh, and you remember that dream, and then maybe a couple weeks later you dream it again.
Well, what's the definition? Yeah, I mean, no, I'm getting married.
Yeah, okay. What was the first one, Robin?
So the school, the dreams about being in school, generally having to do with anxiety, like, oh my God, I forgot to study for the exam, or I didn't go to the exam, or I'm unprepared for the exam, or, you know, I didn't get all my credits.
How about finding yourself at school and you're naked, or you've just managed to get to school but forgot to put on your pants? Those are the kinds of dreams.
That's recurring?
Yeah, I've had it several times.
Yeah, and I have those dreams too. And she looks great without any pants. I'm just saying. All right.
Speaking of which.
Yes.
I had no idea where she
was. When I was watching Ellen the other day, she showed a video. It was a security camera of a woman getting dropped off for work. So this girl pops out of the car looking really cute. Cute little skirt, boots, little jacket. And she says, okay, goodbye, and off, you know, she slams the car door, and it's like, oh, she'd slammed the car door on her skirt, and fortunately, the skirt just flew right off, you know, and with the car, and took off way down the street, so it's gone, leaving her standing in the parking lot with absolutely nothing covering her little
vagina.
Little butt. No, you can only see the back of her, but you know,
her little hiney.
With clearly wearing, you know, a thong. So,
oh, okay.
It was hilarious. I thought it was very funny. I had to watch it again.
Boyana, you need to look for that. It'll be up on YouTube. This is a note to Boyana. I don't know how to say it in Bulgarian,
now
but you
know
want to find the hiney YouTube.
Now you know how Parviz feels.
Hiney YouTube. All right, we're looking for the hiney YouTube, okay?
Oh,
there we go. You had something.
All right. This is my last little segment of the day here. Right. I have an idea. I want to run it past you all.
I don't like it.
Me neither.
You're wrong.
All right. Stinker.
Doing it live.
What's it doing it live from?
O'Reilly. You never saw that? No. Oh, you'd love. I'll email you the link.
Yeah. All right, here's my. You look at me like all my ideas are bad. Yeah. I haven't.
Once again, we've hit a cul-de-sac.
Just do it. Do it. I'm with you.
Okay, Avatar this week just passed up Titanic as the most moneymaker ever, correct? Made like $600 million in the United States and $1.8 billion worldwide.
Can I ask one quick question? Sure. Robin will know the answer to this. Do they adjust these numbers for inflation?
Yes. No.
They don't.
I think we're going to leave it there.
So anyways, we have here Avatar is the biggest moneymaker, which is a shock to me, but whatever. Which is great. Congratulations to James Cameron. He makes some great films, Terminator, whatever, Titanic. This is my idea. We talk about this country being in a recession and how everybody can't afford nothing, but yet we shell out $600 million for a movie, $1.8 billion worldwide. But let's just talk about this country alone, right? $600 million for this movie. There's people in Haiti that could use money, right? And there's people all over the world for March of Dimes or breast cancer or diabetes or whatever that can always use money. My idea is, why don't movie tickets, a percentage, a quarter, 50 cents or a dollar, go to a charity? Why wouldn't James Cameron, not necessarily him, but why wouldn't the people of Avatar say, you know what, this weekend only, $1 of every movie ticket is going to Haiti. And if they sell 50 million tickets, so many thousand go to Haiti, how many people would go see the movie? How many people think that's cool? How many people, why don't they do that in general? Because every weekend a movie opens up at 50 million, 30 million. If a quarter goes to the March of Dimes or whatever cause the director likes, how cool is that? Because we don't necessarily give until there's a telethon on TV or until there's a tragedy. Why isn't all this money constantly being given? Anybody?
Would you like to start?
No. I'm going to let...
Is this a bad idea?
No, I'll let Ayn Rand over here give
Ayn Rand? Well, no. I mean, obviously, your idea is noble, but I think...
Surprising.
The only reason why I say that, because it seems like the movie industry is the only money maker during a recession. It's the only money maker during any time of the world.
Bars.
Okay, bars. But it's like people are so willing. They want something for their money. They're just not willing to give money unless they get a product back. And I'm thinking, screw it. So it costs $350 to make Avatar, and they're going to make $1.8 billion. And I'm sure there's
How do you know James Cameron and the... all these people and actors aren't already donating money. You want to levy a tax is basically what you want to do.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you saying it should be mandatory, or are you asking why they don't do it on their just of their own volition?
I guess, because I think it should be, I don't know if it should be mandatory, because it might judge somebody on going to see a picture if they don't agree with a certain...
Exactly.
I have an idea.
What is it?
How about... Have you ever gone to Petco and bought pet food, and then as you're checking out, it says, would you like to donate a dollar or $5 or $10 to the homeless pets or whatever it is, and you say yes, no.
Mm-hmm. Why? Well, they do that at the market, too.
Do they? Okay, well, my kids shop for me.
Which, actually, that's an annoying thing for another reason.
Mm-hmm. So your idea is them ask...
They can ask if you want to donate a dollar,
instead of
paying $10 for their ticket, they would pay $11.
I'm proud of you for thinking about charity. I think it's a good thing. Americans, I think, have given more to Haiti. There was a chart I saw recently. They've given $100 million mm-hmm. or something like that. I mean, more than any other country. So
certainly because of the help of the whole George Clooney telethon thing, right?
I don't know.
That was $58 million right there.
Yeah, so I mean, half of that came before that, right? I mean, half of that was not were people who didn't give a shit about the Clooney thing that just gave of their own volition.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
We have links
on that's not counting what Obama and...
Right, that's not... Right, that's just private. That's just private American citizens who said, this feels like the wrong thing for me. I can come up with $10 or $20 or $50 or whatever that is, right? And we have links on the Schnauzer Logic page to a bunch of different charities, because you can find one that matches your own kind of thing. I put some links up there, but they're all... I basically went to Charity Navigator, and I found charities that basically give 90% of their money directly to the relief. The challenge of this is you want to see corporations do the right thing, because they are good corporate citizens. But you don't want to legislate what people have to give money to, because while we all agree that giving money to the victims of the earthquake in Haiti is probably something we can all agree is an okay thing to do, mm-hmm. there may be other charities that we don't all agree. Whenever,
right.
whenever people say, I think we can all agree, you will find people that don't all agree.
No, I agree.
In fact, even in this, even with respect to Haiti... Right, I think Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly came out and said, we already give money to Haiti. It's called U.S.
Let me tell you what O'Reilly said. And what she's right on about is he's saying, you know, the problem is people are going to go in blindly giving money, and it's going to go down the shitter just like it has been with, you know, Haiti's very corrupt.
I understand.
Right.
I understand. But you're making my point, which is that there are people that are going to think that even with Haiti, like how you give that money. So supposing we said, okay, well, we all agree that Haiti was a horrible thing. We should be giving mm-hmm. money. But the distribution of that money is something we may agree we should help Haiti. We may not agree how we should help Haiti, mm-hmm. right?
So I was listening to Ron Owens when this first happened, and there were people calling in saying, you know what, I think it's horrible what happened there, but you know what? We have people here that are starving. That's where I give my money. I mean, they weren't bad people, but that's what they were saying.
So I think what you're proposing is admirable. I don't think we talk enough about charity in this country. Right? And it's not part of the conversation. I think people are, they give. Obviously, Americans are generous, mm-hmm. but they're a little embarrassed to talk about charity. But, I've talked about the fact that I think that tithing is an important thing to do. That's just me personally. But, as successful as I've been, as fortunate as I've been, as blessed as I've been, I feel like I can give something back. Now, like you, when I put aside a certain amount of money for charities that are important to me. You can't save everyone, right? You mm-hmm. can't. And if you split up what you have, whatever limited resources you have, and you try to give them to everyone, then no one gets anything that's really any value, right? So you have to sort of figure out those things that are important to you, and over time help. Hopefully that helps. The dollar at the checkout thing bugs the shit out of me, quite frankly.
Me too.
Because it makes me feel like somehow if I say no, mm-hmm. then I'm being judged. And I shouldn't be judged because I've already given the money. Like, it's like I gave a substantial donation to the Haiti relief. I don't feel like I have to give a substantial donation and a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you shouldn't be asking me.
Mm-hmm. And who gets all the credit? Safeway.
Exactly. Even though I shop at Whole Foods.
Well, right. Well, what I've noticed...
No, because they write a fat check and we all go yay for Safeway, but they don't say...
What I've noticed, and I don't know if this is at every market, but at Safeway... At least the one I go to, they don't ask you anymore. It's just on the pad. So at least you can just say no.
The iPad.
Yeah.
And we're back.
So there you go.
All right.
Well, I'm not running for president. It's just an idea.
No, it's a good idea.
We still have those links up on the website from last week. So if you're interested, they still obviously need help in Haiti. Mm-hmm. Although, I shouldn't say although, because that makes it sound like, they got plenty of money. Right now, money is not the issue. It's getting right. the supplies and the relief out to the people. I mean, if you watch
They're there at the airports. They're just not able to get them to
the people. They can't get them, right? And the UN workers who were there who were trying, like, I saw this horrible video where they opened the truck and people were like, they were kind of rushing the truck. And so they closed the truck and they left with all of the food and like they just left with the supplies. And so, of course, the few boxes that got off the truck, people started, a riot started. I mean, it's being managed really poorly, which I guess is no surprise, unfortunately. And, so what do? You bring the American military in there to manage it? It's kind of as, American military martial law. I've had people say to me, well, why don't we do that? It's like, because it's a sovereign nation. We don't have the right to do that unless they ask us for that help. So, I don't know. It's a challenge. But bless you for suggesting it.
Thank you.
That's very nice.
I just think there's a lot of money floating around, and not necessarily Haiti, but I was thinking, like, if Michael J. Fox made a movie and he wants to say a certain amount goes to Parkinson's, I wonder if somebody go, well, I'm not going to go to your movie because I don't believe in Parkinson's. I think people go, cool. I think if you say it out loud, I think people would feel good about it.
You know, over the last few weeks, people have been doing that. I mean, if you look online, people have been donating money, like a percentage mm-hmm. of the proceeds for shows and concerts. I know Dane Cook has been
yes.
tweeting that his stuff, right? He's going to be donating a portion of the gate and the door and stuff like that.
That's
so
cool.
So people are doing that.
And you saying that, how do we know they don't do it? That's true. But maybe they should just say it out loud just so we know what the hell's going on. Because it's, right. it's kind
but
of important.
But I also think sometimes people think, like, actually, I even felt like actually what I did, I said, okay, for all the shows in January, we're going to donate 50% of the ticket sales to
Haiti,
right?
That's cool.
But I almost feel guilty doing that because it almost seems like I'm
saying...
It'd
be $100? Sorry.
Well, no. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be Dane Cook money. But what I'm saying is, though, it almost feels guilty like, okay, I'm only doing... It's like an advertisement to come to the show.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that.
No,
because
I understand. It feels like you're trading on their misery.
Mm-hmm. Right,
well, look
right,
how
right.
great I... Because people will come only because they want to give... I know... I don't think you can think that way.
No.
Right.
Your motives
I'm
are pure.
Jewish.
I know, but your motives are pure. You're not doing it to get people to come to the show. You're doing it because it feels like the right thing to do.
Right.
The same
but
reason
you
that
have,
we ask...
You have to say that so people know and come down and support you. You know?
I agree.
You have to say it. You have to speak up and not keep it inside.
All right.
All right.
So give until it hurts.
Very similar to what John went through 10 years ago.
And scene. Thank you very much. All right. Well, that was a hell of a show.
Yeah, I feel bad. You want to? Should I apologize? I feel bad.
No.
I think I beat you guys up early in the show, and we never, you know, just...
I'm just low energy because I actually went for a run today, and I...
I'm
just resting.
I got passionate over fluff.
No, I mean, you know what, honestly, and I know Robin wouldn't have wanted to do it, but I could have spent the whole 2 hours just debating you on that one topic.
I could have, too. We never even talked about Craig Ferguson, how talented that guy is.
Well, he's not in the mix. I
know, but there's just a lot of talented late night
hosts. Let's just talk about him. Let's just look at him.
Well, we didn't even talk about Carson Daly.
What?
All right. Next week, big 75th anniversary show. Surprise guest, because I don't know who it's going to be. So,
are we going to try to get somebody good?
Yeah, we'll try to get somebody good. But you'll be here. But you'll be here too. John will be
I
here.
Won't
we'll
be
try
here.
To get Sherry.
You won't be here.
No.
Be here. Yeah.
Sherry won't be here for the big 75.
No, she's going to be skiing
in
the mountains. She'll be snowbirding. But we'll have her here for the big 76 show. So until then, I want to thank all of you. I want to thank Boyana. We want to thank all the folks at Trans FM for carrying the stream. I want to thank Boyana for doing the show with us. Listen to my friend Aunt Fran. She's got her podcast. We got a link over there as well. And blah, blah, blah. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I miss you both so very much these days. Show up. Pay attention. Tell the truth. And don't be attached to the outcome. Have yourself a great week. Get a colonoscopy, and we'll see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Jenny. It's over!
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Elvis has left the building.
I'm in my vagina.